Dragon's Dogma 2, the highly anticipated successor to the cult classic Dragon's Dogma, is out now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series X and S, and Steam. Dragon's Dogma 2 is a third-person action RPG boasting a richly detailed and deeply explorable fantasy world created using Capcom's RE engines, immersive graphics, groundbreaking character AI systems, and cutting-edge graphics. Dive into the vast and dynamic world where the Arisen is called upon to fulfill a forgotten destiny across the nations of Vermund, the Kingdom of Humanity, and Batal, the nation of Beastrin. Dragon's Dogma 2 revolves entirely around choice. Your choice, that is. From the sword and shield wielding fighter to the illusion conjuring trickster, there are over 10 unique vocations to choose from that all require experience to unlock new skills. And character customization is out of this world. Literally. Oh, and did I mention that the combat is really in-depth? It isn't just hacking at a giant's ankle for half an hour while you dodge roll attacks. You can engage enemies from a distance, climb up large foes, stab them in their weak points, use the terrain and trick, trip, or throw foes off high cliffs and raging waters. So visit DragonsDogma.com to buy the game and start your epic quest today. That's DragonsDogma.com to learn more.
Boner! Ow!
It's fun, yeah.
I'm excited.
Lol.
Real life internet drama.
I've never played World of Warcraft.
The tune, the sex appeal.
Jump-tick!
Are y'all that low on energy? Come on, bring it!
Oh, yeah.
We need more seats
already,
on stage.
Shut up. I already started recording the podcast, so this week we're going to actually have to play the theme song after that intro. So here's the theme song.
Hey, it's podcast.
This is.
We can all
this
hear this,
guys.
This
is how we actually do it.
I've never played World of Warcraft.
Alright, good enough.
Wow, that was a rocking intro, Gus.
You know, once again, the theme song somehow manages to disappoint. So.
It's a good one. It's called Boner Sauce.
Oh, wow.
You'll love it when you hear the podcast. So we're recording the podcast for the first time in front of a crowd, and this podcast will be released on Wednesday. So if you're here, if you're watching on the stream via our live stream, you're getting an advanced preview, and you're going to be disappointed on Wednesday.
Yeah, please don't give up any plot points.
Yeah, really.
Keep it to yourself.
Yeah, don't spoil the fact that Joel's about to talk over everybody.
Yep. And he's slamming the table. Here we go.
Why we have two microphones, so this is the mic for here, and this is the mic for there.
But we have enough chairs for like eight people, so that's good.
I need Gavin here to explain why this mic is my present mic, and this mic is my future mic.
He probably heard that.
He probably did in the UK.
In the past.
Do you guys know, Gavin is not here at RTX, right? Do you know that?
No, it's not that sad. No,
not really. No, no. No.
Seriously.
Like, the average IQ of this entire place spread across 4,000 people somehow went up 20 points by the fact that he's not here. But he couldn't be here. We probably mentioned it on the podcast before because he has friends in the UK that are getting married.
He does not have friends.
What qualifies as a friend in the UK? It's like someone you've bumped into on the street.
But the problem is, he's going to a wedding, but he's not even in the wedding. Like, being in the wedding, that might be an excuse
he's
to leave.
The problem is that he's not here. The wedding isn't fucking relevant.
But no, I'm saying, the idea of, maybe if you're in the wedding, it's worth missing the greatest event ever.
No.
Gavin! I'm saying he should be here right now.
No, I'm agreeing, but I'm saying...
So why are you yelling at me?
You guys stop agreeing right now!
He should just be here anyway.
Yeah, but the problem is, I told him, I said, because he was fretting about it for like 6 weeks. He's like, he kept saying, you know, I don't want to go to these people's wedding. I don't care about these people. They're friends. They're probably watching on streaming. How you doing? Your friend hates you. So what I suggested, I was like, hey, why don't you just take the money that you were going to spend on a flight to the UK and spend that on their gift? And then I realized I was talking to Gavin. He's not paying for this flight back. He somehow saved the return trip that we did to book him to the U.S. He's now using that to go back to the U.K.
That bastard.
So he's going to pay for his own ticket when we kick him out of the country later.
Apparently, no. That now means he's now trapped with us forever because he has no return ticket. Gus, what's more likely? That we would pay for his ticket twice or that Gavin would pay for a ticket one time?
We'll pay for it twice.
Yeah, right. Bye, Gavin.
I've known that idiot like 8 years. I've never seen his wallet.
Uh-uh.
Does he own one?
That's a good... I've never seen him pay for anything either. Or... Why did that quiet everyone up?
we're letting you speak. We don't want to talk over you, Joel.
It's a lot more nerve-wracking when you're getting instant feedback.
Kidding, man. You know, we played Horse live on stage the other day, and that was... I want to play Horse live nonstop now. We had Adam and Rago, and it was amazing. Like, having 500 people watch you and cheer, like, that's the way to do it.
Did anybody go to that? Then why are you telling them? Because they were there.
Because this is a podcast, Joel. People are listening
they
to this in the
matter.
Future. Yes, they do.
They yeah, Joel, God forbid we tell a story on the podcast that the audience already knows.
We only have like 7 stories. This is like RVB, right? 7 verbs, 7 stories.
I think that is the plot.
Party home, everybody.
Look, it's Mr. Monty Ohm. How you doing, Monty?
Sup.
So. So somebody's going to have to explain to Monty how the mics work.
That's almost exactly how Monty enters a normal podcast, too. He just shows up. He's going to slam down and he shows up.
Bust the door. Well, actually, so since Monty's out here, we were trying to figure out, since Gavin is out of town and Gavin couldn't be on the podcast, how could we possibly replace him for this one special event? So we tried. We figured we had the stupidest person to come out of the UK in the history of the UK. So maybe possibly we could get the smartest person from the UK to ever come out of the UK. So please welcome Mr. Frank O'Connor from 343.
So you guys want to share there? Good to see you.
So Frank, you have to apologize. We have beer. We don't have whiskey for you or
fine.
Scotch.
That's your second racist thing. Did anyone else expect Stephen Hawking after that intro?
I like to intro Frankie whenever I can in the most hyperbolic way that I possibly can.
So I can disappoint you all, like, roundly and seriously.
Right, immediately.
Yeah.
So listen, every time I do, we're at a party or something like that, and I introduce you to somebody, I always say, this is Frank, he's the architect of the Halo franchise. You go, yeah. That is absolutely incorrect.
It is absolutely incorrect. That's one of the reasons I say that, is because it's a total falsehood.
But then you never tell me what your title and how you want to be introduced.
Well, first you turn RTX into a palace of lies, and then I have to explain how actually unimportant I am, neither of which I want to happen. So I work on Halo all up, the whole franchise. So I am not the architect of it. The architects of Halo are back at 343 Industries with 8 weeks to go before the game goes gold and goes into RTM, basically.
So you're like the master engineer.
Yes.
Oh, God.
That's the master engineer. No, the supreme commander of Halo.
I'm like
Frankie is master chief.
Some dude from inside the Halo building.
Okay.
There we go.
Yeah. That's how we'll do it from now on.
I'm not buying it.
Here's some dude from inside the Halo building, everybody. Please welcome to the podcast.
So if I understand your appearance here correctly, Frank, and every question we have about campaign will be answered, right?
Oh, absolutely. I don't even care anymore. I had like 2 of these fake beers. It's a prop, by the way. This is, again, Bernie's like fabric tissue of lies.
So is that
created
piss
around
right
RTX.
There? Because that's yellow.
Actually, you know,
that's vodka, that one. Okay. Yeah.
I'm actually one of the few people, I don't often drink on the podcast until we get a tequila sponsor, and then I drink too much.
Oh.
And that turns into the worst podcast ever. Yeah. How long did it take you to edit every bump out of every table hit on that podcast?
I don't know. Let's ask Lindsay.
Are you complaining?
Like any good manager, I've delegated all the hard work. Yeah. So thanks, Lindsay, whoever you are.
Yeah, Joel, you should understand, it's not really management. It's just an excuse for Gus to yell at the rest of us. And by the way, what do you mean it's great to get instant feedback?
No, I said it's nerve-wracking. It's awful.
You must not know what it's like to be on the podcast with you, because we constantly get instant feedback every time we do something.
Yeah, but the three of you assholes that I've known for like 14 years is different than like the 600 or 700 people that are out there right now.
Yeah, the assholes we met this weekend. Hey, everybody. So... it's okay to like yourself. So, is Lindsay here? Is she in the room?
I think she might be at another panel doing something else right now.
Well, my little panel is right now, right? Panel.
Yeah, the My Little Panel.
Oh, well, you guys are missing out.
So,
what is that panel about?
Yeah, I gotta say, I have a theory that I think the audience is playing a drinking game.
I have a theory it's the one RTX panel that you're going to be able to get into. they'll have empty seats. We left this out of the program because we thought it might be insensitive, but we actually had written in the original description of the My Little Pony panel that at the end of the panel we would be locking the doors and gassing the room.
That didn't make it into the final version?
No.
That's really disappointing.
I'm pretty sure we could take this panel can take that panel. There's more of us than there are of them.
Numbers.
Yeah. It's a numbers game. Yeah.
So I had probably the creepiest convention experience ever right before I came out here on stage.
I was just trying to be friendly. I think I hadn't seen you in a while.
It finally happened.
He told us it was a Scottish greeting, traditional one. Something about a bagpipe.
Someone followed me into the bathroom to get something signed.
Really?
Well, what did you want to sign? Yeah. Wait. Did you need a little Sharpie or a big marker?
It was Mike from Maine. I was sitting there at the urinal. Well, not sitting. I was standing at the urinal. And I was there next to Jay from 343. And I could tell there was someone behind me. So I kind of look over my shoulder and there's someone there with one of their Halo 4 posters and a Sharpie. Yeah. He's like, hey, can I get you to sign this, Gus? I was like, my hands are kind of doing something at the moment. He was like, oh, well, I wanted to make sure I caught you. I said, you know there's only one exit to this bathroom.
Yeah.
You could have waited on the other side of the exit, and you would have caught me anyway. Yeah. He's like, yeah, but I really want to get you to sign this. I was like, okay. So I come over, and I intentionally, without washing my hands, start going over to try to sign it. He's like, no, wash your hands. I was like, no, you asshole, you came in the bathroom. If you're waiting outside the door, you get washed hands. Inside the bathroom, you get dirty hands. So then I washed my hands, I signed this thing, and I walked out, and there was a family there waiting for me. They're like, oh, can you sign this for me, Gus? I was like, oh, thank you. How courteous of you to wait for me outside the fucking bathroom. And then Mike was unabashed.
Listen, I just wanted your autograph.
It would have been funny if an entire family followed you into the bathroom.
Jay, is that going to be an animated adventure now?
Yes.
Jordan, set up. Everybody, Jordan Swears, who makes the RTAAs. So, if you didn't come to the panel, this is Jordan. He makes the Rooster Teeth Animated Adventure.
Hey, everybody, say hello.
Hello.
Okay. Now, Jordan.
Yeah, get off my stage.
While you're here, though, I want you to see this reference. These are what arms look like. Okay? Not spaghetti strings.
Can we just put in complaints about how we're drawn? Is it like... is there a form? What does a form look like? Some lines.
I don't know what you're complaining about. The difference between me and Gus is that they connect the eyebrow for Gus. That's about it.
I also have perpetually angry eyes.
Gus, you have perpetually angry eyes. I don't know if you realize that or not.
There was one of the first prototypes of that. Bernie was drawn as a ball. This is like a perfect circle.
Yeah. But then we got hit by Pokemon, so it had to be more photorealistic.
Are you saying that the animated adventures are more photorealistic?
No, I'm not saying that in any way. Not at all.
Did you see the statue of Bernie that was made for the side quest?
Yeah, so Kayla Cromer,
No, let's not applaud statues of Bernie. Yeah.
So, Frank, do you know the story behind this statue at all?
Well, I have a couple. I mean...
a couple statues?
Well, they're small bronzes of you, not bust.
But they're specific portions.
They're quite tarnished now. I won't go into why.
So it turns out there's a city in Tasmania. The Bernie Tasmania.
Bernie told the story.
I know. Here we go.
Well,
where they spell Bernie the exact same way that I spell my name. And so they wanted Bernie.com for years. And they tried to get it from me and tried to buy it, or they went through a kind of a they told me they owned it. I was like, no, you don't. So then they tried to buy it, and I said, I will give you the domain name as long as I get to keep my email address and you erect a statue in your city square that I will pay for, and it's me holding a platypus and hefting a can of Foster's, which I realize is a horrible mistake to say because nobody in Australia drinks Foster's at all. It's like James Bogue.
Yeah, that's actually a lie. That's like saying that nobody in America drinks Budweiser, which is what people from like Boston and Austin say when they go abroad. Oh, we don't drink that.
Well, the hipsters
but they sure
drink
do.
Lone Star is what we drink. Yeah. But the other thing was that I would get to lead a parade down their main street, and I would get to march to the statue and make a plaque for what the actual statue is for. Surprisingly, they said no. They wouldn't do that.
No to all of it? Some of that sounds reasonable.
No, yeah, they said no to the whole package. But they, for SideQuest, somebody made a miniature Bernie statue. They made that statue, and I guess some guys from Tasmania bought it, and they're going to take it to their...
No shit.
The City Hall in Bernie. And, yeah.
Are they here? Are the people here with the statue? Are you raising your hand? Is that really you? Do you have the statue with you? You split it three ways. So which part did you get, the head?
How much did you guys pay for it? Oh, what a sucker.
$170.
Wow.
Wait, you split the set? Like, are you time-sharing the statue, or did you physically cut it?
Get to the mic. There's a microphone right there. So he said he split it $870 amongst three people.
Where's Gavin for math on that?
You spent $870 on a statue of Bernie?
Yep.
What the fuck is wrong with you? And then
Joel,
after you got it, you split it up?
Oh, Joel is super jealous, huh? Mm-hmm.
He's trying to figure out how to turn on the mic. Flip it to on.
If you want to make a statue of Joel, just like buy like a six-pack of beer and just write Joel on it. And then just give it to me. And that would work.
One of the guys who wanted to buy it was actually from Australia, and the bidding started getting really high, and it was looking like he wasn't going to be able to get it because he wanted to take it to Bernie Tasmania since he's in Australia. So what I did was I came in and I said, all right, how much are you willing to bid on it? And I'll give you the money beyond that so you can take the statue to Bernie Tasmania. And since the money's going to a good cause, I was totally fine with that.
Yeah.
Well, so here, you guys cheated.
Come up here. I'm gonna give you some stuff.
We'd like to treat the statue like the Stanley Cup, so we'll pass it around. Maybe at RT conventions, we'll bring it, pass it around.
No, pass it around, rub it on stuff.
Yeah,
why not?
Okay, now I'm getting creeped out by this conversation.
Come up here. I'm gonna give you some stuff since you wasted so much money. I've got wait right there. I've got a Master Chief Avatar armor for your Xbox Live character. Congratulations.
Sweet.
No, hold on. I've got something else for you.
You want a beer?
Run.
If he asked you to sign something.
Well, I'm not going to give you a beer. I was just asking.
I'll also give you one of these Razer Onza controllers.
Wow, just like Santa.
And one of the Razer Chimera 5.1 headsets.
Wow.
There you go.
So basically,
this guy invested
in the statue, and now he's got real stuff.
Yeah. And it only cost him several $100 for that free stuff.
And apparently a plane trip to Australia as well.
It goes to charity.
What's that?
The money goes to charity.
It goes to Child's Play, right?
Right.
So you cheated for the kids. Congratulations.
Exactly.
You can go back. Whoa. You just go back to Australia and tell everyone you met that you know there. Say you went to America, had a three-way with a couple guys, and it was all for the kids. Right?
That's the general gist of it.
I think David Tycho would actually be happy to hear that.
It's like the five-second version of the story. That's all you need. That's all the pertinent information.
All right, so anything happened in the news while we've been at RTX? We've been kind of underwater, working on this thing. It seems like something... What's that?
Higgs boson.
Higgs boson. We've got to talk about that. That's like got to be the most important thing that's ever happened in the history of humanity.
Joel freaked out when the Higgs boson thing hit. I told him about it, and he's like, "What? That actually happened?" And like the last person I would imagine would be excited about science would be Joel, but he was going nuts about it.
How is that not like the most significant thing ever?
So okay, hold on, wait. No one say anything. Joel, what is the Higgs boson?
Tell us why it's the most significant thing of all time.
The Higgs boson is what gets ejected from Gus's face when I punch it.
No. Just in your words, what is the Higgs boson?
You're going to take me down, aren't you?
No.
You're the one who said it's the most important thing ever. I know you know. Don't raise your hand.
Right, we are not going to take you down. We're going
to
let you do that.
Unify the model, right, of quantum mechanics.
Go on.
Right?
God,
it's true so far. Where they're smashing particles. If they discover, basically they can't find a Higgs boson, they have to find the byproduct of that by smashing the particles. And they found the byproduct of that. Am I off base on this?
No, you're going.
Do I get help from the audience?
No.
No, don't help him. You can't help him.
Joel has this look of panic on his eyes.
It's like if you have like math anxiety from like the seventh grade. It's just like this is like math science anxiety. It's like let's put you in a room full of 1,000 people, and you, no, but I'm not wrong. Frank, back me up.
As far as you got, that was a fairly accurate description of what happened.
He didn't say a goddamn thing.
No, he did.
He said they're missing a piece of evidence to suggest that the Higgs boson actually existed, and that they found that evidence, and they're pretty sure about it now.
So he just said that they found the Higgs boson.
No. Yeah, they found the Higgs boson's quantum skid marks.
But he didn't explain what.
So they know but that the Higgs boson is in the quantum model's underwear, but they have no direct evidence of it. I'm helping.
That's a really good analogy.
This is so. I don't know why they didn't pick us to like release the news to the world.
I don't think you did oversell me when I came out. I think I'm the smartest man from the
UK.
Exactly. I'm like Stephen Hawking plus the Fonz.
So listen,
and some Mr. Clean.
I'll go all in here. I don't know what the hell. What is important about this thing? They find it, and what does it mean?
It unifies the model.
Hold on,
right?
She keeps raising her hand. You must obviously go to the microphone and explain to us what it means.
You keep saying, Joel, it unifies the model. What model? And what does it unify?
The model of quantum mechanics has very significant implications for string theory as well. It helps prove that model too.
Nobody's saying anything. They're just talking.
Is your mic on? Can you explain it?
It is on. Can you all hear me?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. From my understanding, the Higgs boson is a subatomic particle that helps us understand how other subatomic particles have mass. Because right now, a lot of them, we don't know why they don't. And the Higgs boson is the key for us to understand why subatomic particles have mass.
After the Big Bang, nothing had mass.
Right.
Right? And then the Higgs field
certainly not
came
this conversation.
After the Big Bang, and then particles gained mass. Yeah. Except for protons. Protons still don't have mass. But other protons... other particles... See, the drinking doesn't help with science, people.
This is the part of the live podcast that I was really anticipating, which is when we talk out of our ass for like 15 minutes at a time, and you guys are listening going, shut up, you're wrong. And none of us in the room have any clue that we're completely wrong, and we just keep going, and it's like, we're right just by complete ignorance. It's like, mass ignorance somehow makes us all right.
Real quantum physicists are super angry right now, but like, what are they going to do, really?
Yeah,
come on, bring it.
They're also mad that we introduced you as the smartest man from the UK, probably.
Yeah, tough. Yeah, you can't prove I'm not. Except with a simple math quiz.
My dad actually worked on the super collider that was in Dallas. The one that they shut down.
Yeah. So the one that they never opened.
Yeah.
they started to work on it.
And turn it into a ride.
I think they dug like 20 miles of tunnel and then stopped.
Yeah, wow. And then last I heard,
bowling alley.
No, you know, actually, you know what they did? Because it was underground, it was tunnels. One point, a mushroom farm bought it. How sad is that?
Yeah, from what I understand, it would have been more powerful than CERN, than the collider they have now in CERN.
Yeah, it was like 4 times bigger?
Yeah, it was much bigger, and they were building it in the... This was a Cold War project, I believe, that they had worked on. And then,
I just like that Dallas lost that, but they got a NASCAR track.
It's the same thing. They should have repurposed it. It could have been the first underground NASCAR track. So is physics like the NASCAR of the sciences? Like the electrons just keep going left?
I totally want NASCAR. That'd be the greatest thing ever. Imagine the crashes.
And then there's people looking for the crashes.
That's the exact same thing. Right. We would have gotten to the conclusion faster. Yeah. And it would be more entertaining.
Yeah. But it'd be the Higgs Buick.
So what, what is it?
We can get weirder here on this.
But what is it? Are they it's a particle accelerator and a particle collider, super collider.
Yeah.
What is it? They accelerate an electron? Just one electron versus one electron? Two go in, one comes out, kind of a deal. You know, is that what it is?
Please let Joel answer this.
See, look, dude, everybody in the audience is going like this. That's not science. That's not an answer. I understand what colliding is. That's the part I got down. But is it what, one electron? Is that what it is?
Neutron.
Neutrons suck. Pick a side, you pacifist. Yeah, hey, get up to the mic, buddy, whoever you are in the back.
This is like a nerd ghetto version of a Prairie Home Companion.
No, we do not talk about NPR on this podcast.
Yeah.
But we got the audience. I brought a banjo. I can do some folk stuff.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you. All
right. What a collider is, and actually, Monty, here's a good Halo analogy. A Mac cannon is a magnetically accelerated cannon.
Right.
Which, so it uses a magnetic field to project a projectile out and blow stuff up. So instead of that, they put it in a donut. And instead of giant tungsten bullets...
I'm totally following this. Keep going.
You have just two little protons. It could be the...
I thought it was neutrons. Everyone was
yelling
earlier.
You're going to piss off the neutron cam.
Frankly, they both have mass and they're both... work well, depending on what experiment you want to do. Basically, you spin them around. That's why they have to be so big. They have to get so fast, nearly 99.9% the speed of light.
Uh-huh.
And then, basically, they send them into another chamber, and that's where they actually collide. And where they collide are the sensors, where they pick up the various particles that actually collide. And what happens is they smash, and all these little particles and traces and so forth. I mean, it's a little crazy. I can't even explain it. But basically,
fucking magnets. Fucking magnets.
Well, thank you for taking a microphone.
Dale Earnhardt magnets.
Listen,
it's still better than Joel's explanation.
Well, you come up here, you and the girl who was up here. Let me give you both Anza controllers as well.
Yeah. Hey, listen, relating science via Halo, that's on my level. So I appreciate it. So what are we hoping to learn from this? We're going to get what?
Okay.
Am I going to get a teleporter out of this?
I'm sorry, what?
Am I going to get a teleporter out of this? What do I get out of
anything.
This?
You're never going to learn anything.
You'll get stuff. You'll probably get, like, better cell phone reception or something.
I'll take
like
it.
That,
yeah.
Microwave faster. Apparently, there's, Oh, nice. Whoa.
Someone said Mass Effect Relay, so I brought that out. We're giving that away later. So ignore that for now.
It's very heavy.
Wow. Holy moly.
Yeah.
Is that part of the Hadron Collider? Is that what they use to shoot them? See, I just dig myself into these holes. Okay, so apparently there are other dimensions. Apparently, mathematically, there are other dimensions.
Shut up. Let him go.
No, when Joel was excited about the Higgs boson, that was this first thing. He's like, there's other universes now. There's other dimensions.
No. Not other universes.
Okay, please explain this, Joel.
Other dimensions.
So, what's the difference between another universe and another dimension?
I don't fucking know. What?
No, because you were very clear
fucking
right there.
Jack turn on you. That's when you know you're fucking at the bottom.
So, I actually know the answer to this.
Okay, please.
Well, it's boring, and I can't describe it properly, because you imagine describing up to one of the flatlanders from the famous thought experiment. Other dimensions are literally other dimensions in space, right? So you've got up, down, left, right, forward, backward.
Right.
There's another one. We can't see it. In theory, one of the reasons we can't see it is because they're very, very small. That's it. That's where we're at. Loads of different directions that we can't sense or see, but they have given and shaped evidence upon the very fabric of the universe.
So how is this going to influence Halo?
How are you going to incorporate this into Halo 4?
Yes.
Well, we'll go down to about 8 frames per second when we had one.
Yeah.
No, that actually does make sense because Joel is used to dealing with things that are very, very, very small. So that's helpful.
Oh. You just set me up with a small setup here, and I'm not going to...
Joey sells us the jokes he's not going to tell us.
No. So.
Well, those are the best kinds of jokes. Those never bomb. Right. They never come out.
Never bomb.
They just fizzle.
All right, so what else should we talk about, Gus? What else is going on in the news?
Well,
any video game news that came out?
I don't know. If it didn't happen in this building, I don't know about it.
What's that? Spelunky. Oh, Spelunky? I don't know what that is. It sounds like a Minecraft clone. It's just off the... Rogue-like cave-dwelling game.
The last Mine would love that.
Guys, Jack, what's the last arcade game you guys have been playing?
Well, we've been playing Minecraft like nonstop pretty much for the past couple months. But Spelunky just hit this past Wednesday on Xbox Live Arcade. It's one of the new 400-point Xbox Live Arcade games. Are you excited about that?
What's that?
The 400-point arcade games now?
I'll be honest. I've been so busy with RTX, I haven't had a chance to play a whole lot. I'm actually kind of like working my... You know what? I got to be pathetic here. I'm going to give up. I've been trying to beat this one achievement on Left 4 Dead 2 for about 2 years now. And I just got to give up and find some ringers. Because I cannot beat expert-level campaigns. I just can't do it. And you can do it? Dude, just stand up. I can't believe you have a Jack beard. That is like the best thing I've ever seen in my life.
Wow.
Yeah, somehow it being fake doesn't make it less gross. Somehow. I'm not sure.
You and Jack should make out. We should all take pictures.
How do we get the...
It'd be like watching two otters go at it in the wild.
Where's Gavin? Oh, man.
Turn into the Nature Channel.
Well, no, Bernie, the problem is... The beard hair would catch. And then, like, any sort of excess food would lock together.
Like,
this is Velcro?
Bernie,
that's awesome.
Bernie, if you and I were ever to get really close, like, our beard hairs would slowly go towards each other. Kind of like, you know when, like, the aliens reconnect after getting to see... Yeah, it's kind of like that, where they're sort of building together. It would probably have this weird taste in your mouth that would, like, right in the back of your throat.
Those are, like, the that protein would be, oh, I
I had a. You know what? Actually, I was picturing in my mind while you were saying that. I was picturing like an avatar when they bond. And they reach out.
I was picturing Gus sitting on the urinal as they slowly back.
You with the grows out of Gus's face isn't even hair. I don't even know what that.
It's like a scrubbing brush, like a scouring pad of some kind.
Dude, we have to do something about... There's too many beards in the company.
You with the Jack beard. Come up here. I'm going to give you some stuff.
What is the deal with beards? Like, Joel, you're even growing, like, the one you're capable of, which is, like, the Satan goatee, you know?
Okay, that
you
is
You look
the
like a
first,
Klingon from the original
Star Trek.
That's the
legitimate thing that you can make fun of me about.
No, Joel, that's not the first legitimate thing.
I don't know.
I cannot grow a full fucking beard. Yeah. I cannot fucking do it. I'm the oldest person in this fucking room that cannot grow a full fucking beard.
Do you want to talk about it?
It makes me want to punch Jack every time I see him. You're like a Gia pet walking around. You like put seeds on your face and just like, what
I've
the
got
hell?
Miracle Grow that I add to it every night.
Is it Rogaine? Are you doing Rogaine?
No.
How much care is like... involved in a beard like that?
Not much. Not honestly. Like I shampoo it when I shower.
Okay. Oh God!
But do you use conditioner?
Oh, you say, oh God! That's like I'm being clean with it.
Do you use conditioner as well?
I do conditioner occasionally.
No, I just the oh God was envisioning you in the shower, dude.
Oh, okay. I get that.
The hardest part about this bastard having a beard is like going out to eat with him. Because then it's like, oh, great, now we get to watch the food. Ball out of the thing, there it goes. Oh, no. I'll never see it again.
So, Jack, what's the oldest piece of food you found in your beard?
Oh, God.
I found some whipped cream from a milkshake the other day. I was still drinking. I didn't realize it was on my beard. I was like,
Wait. Okay. You didn't realize it was in your beard?
No, I didn't. Because I can't feel my beard. It's hair, Joel. So, okay, those of you who have beards, you know you add, like, an extra little wipe to your beard anytime you eat, right? You, like, you clean your mouth, and then you kind of wipe down.
I don't know about other people. Working.
So it's usually very clean.
The wipe is not working.
It's totally working.
Get a brush or something.
Can I get a pick, maybe? Like, puff it out?
Something. Light it on fire.
Okay, so, you know, I hate to do this. Is Brandon in the room? Okay, good. I can tell the story then. So you remind me of something. I don't know if you guys ever noticed this before, but, like, Brandon always has, like, something in the corner of his mouth, like, after he eats. Like, he has one spot that he somehow misses in the overall, like, I'm cleaning my face wipe. You know what I'm talking about?
Yes.
Do you ever point it out to him?
No.
I don't either. I just talk about it in a room of 1,000 people, apparently. So,
and yeah. No one's going to point it out to him. Not a single one of you is going to walk up and be like, hey, man.
I bet they will.
It's like the birds and the bees talk.
What? Wait, how is that like the birds and the bees talk?
It's an important conversation that has to happen that no one wants to do.
With like Brandon? Who, what do you mean? So, Joel, what age do you think someone should have the birds and the bees talk? Are you talking about the kid? Like,
why is it anytime we question you for further information, Joel, you just sigh and then get angry?
Yeah, Bernie, you're happy to explain the Higgs boson, but you won't explain the birds and the bees. Right?
Bernie, do you need a pamphlet?
Okay, Joel, let me give you a scenario.
No.
You just met a kid. You've known him for 2 weeks. The relationship is progressing. At what point do you have the birds and the bees talk with this kid?
All right, dimensions.
Sorry. That was a story for Jack's beard. Sorry. You look like Uncle Pedophile. That's what I'm trying to say.
I was confused there.
No, pedophiles don't grow their beard that long.
My beard's about 8 months old, so.
Well, they give themselves away. That's why.
The beard is slowly taking the shape of, like, you know, the bear. You see it? The pet bear? It's like the same color.
My beard is calico.
Your beard is calico.
No, Frank, you see some white in there? Is there, like, white and there's red and brown?
I try not to look at your beard.
No. Look into it. Look, no. Can you find the Cheeto?
Oh, there's an old couch in there, and there's some, like, there's a skull.
You want to touch it?
No, I don't.
You want to touch it, don't you?
Yeah, honestly, it looks like pubes.
Yeah.
It does. It looks like an angry old man's pubes, but it's...
Yeah.
Wait. Why do you know what angry old man pubes look like?
I have to shower, too.
Touché, sir. Touché.
Is there a long-term plan for the beard?
I think after RTX, it's like, this is going to be the longest it'll be. So it's going to start getting trimmed back now. But I wanted to, like, honestly, I grew it out for RTX. So, like, this is the longest it'll get. Because you guys always say, like, let it grow. And I said, all right, fine, I'll let it grow.
And now we're saying shave it. Why didn't you listen to that?
No, I'm going to trim it.
No,
I'm not
going to
shave
it. We're not going let it grow. We're going let it grow, ha, ha, ha.
I think they were let it go.
People are wearing beards ironically making fun of you.
Yeah, now we're just saying let it go. Please, let it die. So you're going to shave it completely after
no,
RTX?
No. I'm going to trim it. I'm going to clean it up a little bit. Like right now it's kind of getting out of control, so I'm going to clean
kinda?
It.
Kinda?
Just kinda.
The Holocaust was kind of bad.
I don't know. Whoa.
Just saying. Just saying.
All right, listen.
Wait. All right, Bernie, we just found out you're part Jewish, right?
Oh, God.
What are we segueing into here? You know,
I talked
to Frank before he came out here. I said, you know, hey, why don't you come on for about 20 minutes? Because I don't know if you know this or not. Our podcast gets a little blue. We literally just hit the 21-minute mark. And then that we get that reference in here. We just found out that we think that I am part Jewish. Yes. Although technically by Jewish law, I would be completely Jewish because that's my mother.
Which part?
What's that?
Which part?
What's that?
On your mother's side.
On your mother's side. That's what I mean.
He did... He did that 23andMe genetic analysis thing.
Yeah, I had to spit in a container.
So you and I both get this test, and you get the container, and you think, I'll spit into this, no problem.
Yeah. Right.
It's really hard to spit into that thing. Like it's a lot more volume than your spit is less than you imagine it to be, and it's also hard to get it all into the container.
How often do you imagine the volume of your own spit, Gus?
Constantly. I feel like I'm very self-conscious about my spit.
Wow. Are you really?
Yeah, I hate it. It drives me crazy. Does it not drive you crazy?
It does. Yeah, all the time. But tell me about yours first.
I hate the fact that I can feel saliva in my mouth.
Okay.
Yeah. Right, see, this is something that's going to stick with you.
It's like, really disturbing. Like, once you're conscious of it.
No, I mean, if you think about somebody spits on the ground, and they're spitting, and it spits on the ground. It's gross. Okay, that shit was in your mouth.
Right.
It's all the time.
It's disgusting.
It is disgusting.
Frank's ejecting.
So,
I'm putting on a disguise so that nobody back at Microsoft knows I was on this.
That's a good call.
Do you want a fake beard? We have a fake beard in the audience. You can throw on too if you want.
No, I can grow one like a real man.
Right now.
Oh. Wow.
I'll just start straining.
Wow.
That's okay. I don't mind taking it from Frank, because Frank's a real person. The rest of the people on this panel, who the fuck are you guys? All right, listen.
Your friends?
Yeah. All right, listen. Why don't we do a deal where everybody at the effing company... Stop it. You listen. Everybody at the company...
He's not letting you talk over him. Did you realize what he just did?
I literally don't have a microphone in front of me. He told me to stop.
All right, listen. You're not listening. All right, everybody at the company, Tuesday...
What?
...shaves their beards.
Okay.
All right, I'll be in San Diego. You guys have fun with that. No, that's the worst thing, man. So I've been killing myself here at RTX. I go to work on Monday, cut the horse we shot yesterday, Awu, and then I fly out on Tuesday to go to Comic-Con and go work another convention.
Well, I know, boo-hoo, right?
Yeah.
Oh, boo-hoo fucking you.
No, he's right. I'm gonna Comic-Con on Wednesday, and it is hard.
It's legitimately hard.
Yeah. Hey, Gus.
What's up, Monty?
I've been meaning to ask you, what hotel do we got?
No.
Do you want me to say you?
can we talk about Monty missing his flight at PAX? Because Monty and I were on that same flight. We talked about that on a podcast before, Monty. What are you talking about?
What?
I think Jack is just trying to get away from the fact he just complained about between two major cons that he gets to go to, he has to play video games for a day. That's his big complaint in life.
I think the beard is starting to work for the brain.
Bernie, look what just arrived on the stage.
Oh, here's the Bernie statue.
Oh, my God.
Is it on camera?
Yeah.
It's beautiful. Now,
Jordan, you'll be happy to know it has RTAA arms.
Now, is the statue part Jewish?
Joel, do you want to check?
So this will make its way to Bernie, Tasmania, and hopefully we'll find a place in the mayor's office somewhere. It's a different mayor than the one I was talking to. That bitch didn't get reelected. she should have known better. But so we'll see. I guess have to write up a plaque for it for the purpose of the statue.
Thanks, guys. They should go down there and then take that little thing and then tape it, like duct tape it to the other statue and take a picture, right?
No, show the platypus. I think it's a dead platypus. The thing is,
you meant a live one, right? Just
a sad platypus.
It's asleep. They're nocturnal, right?
Apparently that platypus went to one of our panels.
I don't know, but no one else is going to contest me.
Okay, you know, Australia is such a messed up place that we learned when we were down that even the platypus is poisonous. It seems like this cute little hybrid animal we all make fun of.
Doesn't that have, like, weird barbs in its gums or some sort of venom?
It has one barb. It's like the guy from Assassin's Creed. Yeah. And it hook you with that barb and poison you.
Yeah. Bernie, we also talked about this.
What's that?
We also talked about this before.
No, so the person over there knew that.
Are you from Australia? You're lying.
She's the platypus expert.
Can the platypus go into other dimensions?
All right.
I'm, for the record, I'm giving the other guys who bought the statue some Chimera and Anza controllers.
Okay, let's try something a little different. We normally never try this, but we're actually kind of looking forward to it because, as you may have heard, we're in the process of turning the podcast in addition to what we do now, we're going to add a live streaming component to the podcast. We're building a set back at the studio, and we're probably going to start that as soon as Gus gets some free time after RTX. We'll get that whole thing started. And
the process is technically started.
Yeah,
we have the set, and we have we built an infrastructure to do all of it. Now we just actually have to do it.
Do it. It's like when we started the podcast, we recorded like 10 before we put the first one out, I remember.
Yep.
We just gave up on it. So as part of that, it's going to give us the opportunity to maybe have some interaction with the audience on the fly, whether people can call into the podcast as they're listening to it live or chat in or something like that. So in that
like car talk?
Like, yes. Yes. And like, wait, don't tell me. And every other goddamn government-funded thing that beats us on iTunes. So if you guys want to, you can line up at the mics and we'll start to take some questions. Yeah. But I got to warn you, we might pull eject on this process pretty quickly.
Yeah, we also, if anyone's on the stream, they can also maybe send some stuff as well.
No questions about the platypus.
How would the people on the podcast or on the stream, would they send us questions?
I'm watching it.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay, that sounds good. So why don't we start over here?
Hi. So I have two questions. One is... Oh, I only get one? Okay, then. I have one.
No. We are in a legal contract. You are committed to two questions, sir.
Right.
No, but I only have one counts as a question.
No, that's not... What?
That's not a question.
You okay, only get...
Question one.
And one
question
statement.
One is, how come Jeff's never on the podcast?
Yeah. How come?
So we got asked this in just about every panel that we did with Jeff, and he was saying that he's so busy with Achievement Hunter that those guys keep him busy constantly. He's got 8 employees that he manages, and that takes all of his time. And he's got the worst employees in the company, to be honest with you, one of which is right there. So that's it. I can take it from a personal level. I've taken breaks from the podcast as well. The podcast is way...
Like this one, right?
Yeah, right. The podcast is way different from any other thing that we do because it tends to, like bleed into your personal life and your personal stories. And there's been times where I just have not wanted to do that. So, I mean...
Oh, you've had problems with personal things in the podcast, Bernie?
Sorry, Jack.
Really? You've had issues with personal things in the podcast?
For the record, I sat on your personal thing. So your personal thing ended up on my ass.
Is your personal thing a urinal?
No.
It was a flesh
Frank, don't ask. Frank, don't ask. We would like to keep the Halo contract as long as possible, but let's segue into something else.
That.
Yeah. So the I mean, it's one of those things where I know I've taken a break from the podcast before just because, like, yeah, maybe I don't want to talk about personal stuff on an ongoing basis. So, but we did have a strategy for getting Jeff back on the podcast, which worked with Jack, which is we can just talk shit about Jeff for a couple weeks until he has to come back on and defend himself. So that's our new strategy. What was your second question?
And my second question is, will there ever be a DayZ podcast in the style of the Left 4 Dead podcasts?
We're hoping so.
Can I say, so Achievement Hunter, we are also building a live streaming set, kind of like the podcast set, and we're going to be doing live Let's Plays in DayZ and other PC games, so that's being built. So,
well, for the record, we're going to do it first on the podcast.
Yeah, awesome.
Like we already did with our previous ones before Let's Play.
The original Drunk Tank production.
It'll most likely end up as a podcast thing, but it's going to be a test for the Achievement Hunter live stream stuff as well. So yes, there will be DayZ stuff.
And a cool part of it too is we think it's a lot of fun to actually see the guys that are playing the games too, not just hear them yakking over the gameplay.
So was it interesting? You know, you asked about DayZ. Was it interesting seeing people play DayZ on the stage? That's one of the reasons we programmed it. We were curious to see how it played in front of a crowd of people because it's a very slow game, but it's very suspenseful as well.
I didn't get a chance to see it, actually.
Oh, okay. Never mind.
Sorry.
Okay, good. People like it.
You're just going to make him mad. You're just going to make him mad. Go ahead.
Okay, so I was working at the Immersion Museum all weekend, and it's been awesome, and I saw on Twitter that you guys are doing a second season.
Yeah.
And I was wondering, did you guys pick Michael and Gavin specifically to optimize the angriness and stupidity on the show?
Yep.
That's a great question.
I think it's nail on the head, actually, is what that is.
I think, the short answer is yes. But, the best thing is we love making Immersion, and it's a lot of fun to do. In fact, it's probably the most fun we've ever had to shoot was the video game car that we made, because we shot for 6 hours with it, and then we stayed out there for like 2 or 3 hours just driving it.
Video game helicopter.
What's that?
Video game helicopter.
I love it. That's one of the things that actually came up, Monty, is we thought, you know, that when you play like a Grand Theft Auto or Saints Row kind of a game, you just jump in a helicopter and you can fly it. So we just throw Gavin in a helicopter and say...
How hard could it be?
Go.
Do you remember when Monty... Okay, so Monty just started at Rooster Teeth when he was on the Immersion thing. Like, he was one of the Yakuza, right, Monty?
That's right.
And do you remember when we were in between filming scenes, Monty was sitting down with his head on his hands with music blaring... So loud that we could hear it. He was like he had like earphones in, and we could hear him. And he was asleep.
No, you remember that?
Yeah,
You remember that, right?
That was our season 8.
How can you hear anything?
That was our first sign. But so we love it. And the best thing is, you know, if we can use Michael and Gavin as our lab rats, it's like we get a lot of fun adventures. And then as a bonus, at the end of the season, Michael and Gavin are dead. So that's good.
Or they kiss. So, but you don't know what it's going to be, right? Very exciting.
So there's a good question in the stream here for you, Bernie.
Yeah.
Would you ever get Jordan's hot sister for a cameo in Red vs. Blue?
What an interesting question.
Wait, no. That
was asked by Lone Stark in the chat.
Someone's very excited about that. I mean.
Yeah, Stalia agrees that Jordan has a hot sister. No, it's my goal in life just for the RT Animated Adventures that if I talk about Jordan's hot sister enough, he then has to sit down and draw his sister as hot as possible, which is... kind of gross, but we'll try to make it happen. So
I've also animated that.
She just updated her Facebook status to in a relationship. And I'm like, I'm trying to figure out how to dislike that.
You got to make it. It's complicated.
What's that?
Hey, once it gets complicated, then
yeah.
Is the guy on Facebook?
What's his username?
No, let's not do that. Let's not do that. In fact, I'm even remiss to bring this up, but fuck it. Who is the jackass on the podcast? Which one of us talked about signing people up for mailing lists?
Oh, God.
Who did that, Gus?
No, why are you bringing it back up?
Because I want to talk about it. And my email address is already destroyed now from this. So ever since... Was it you, Jack?
No, I think Gavin brought it up because I mentioned Gavin's email on the show we shot at, or the thing at E3. Because I replaced my email with his on the Mega 64 thing.
They know, yeah.
And so I think Gavin brought it up.
So I've been signed up for like every Christian Bible study mailing list on the internet.
I was having a really hectic day a couple weeks ago, and I was really trying to use my email. And while I was trying to receive these very important emails, someone signed me up for 150 mailing lists. Like, what is this person's life that they have the time to find all these mailing lists and type my email? It wasn't a bot. Like, they were finding these lists and sending me shit.
You know, I didn't like it, but hearing it happening to you, it's kind of funny. Yeah, fuck you. I don't know.
Do you think it was Gavin?
No.
Gavin's not smart enough.
No, because he set it up. I'm the dumb guy. Set it up on the podcast, and then he goes to work.
Yes. It would either take intelligence or effort, so it definitely was not Gavin.
So I was on Reddit, on the Rooster Teeth subreddit, and I found a picture of Gus, Matt, and Jeff from 2001 E3, and I wanted to show it to you because it's pretty funny.
Yeah, is there any? Can we pull this up? Can we show it?
No, we don't have any video hookup here, but bring it up here, and we can maybe turn it to the camera or something.
Okay, so listen. So I know the picture that you're talking about because there's a couple different pictures from here, and I'm not in the frame. I'm probably off frame.
Let me see it first.
In that particular angle. So it's a picture of, we were with Drunk Gamers, and Matt lived in L.A. at the time, and so we went out to E3 in May of 2001, and there was just a random picture of us. There's actually a couple of them that were snapped. There's Gus. He's, yep. Wow.
Oh, wow. That is...
It's like, he has no hair on his face. He just has the eyebrow. That's it. Here, figure out a way to show that. So here's really the crazy thing about that, though. The crazy thing about that is, were you wearing a Hawaiian shirt in that, by the way?
Yeah. You remember I used to wear Hawaiian shirts?
Yeah, you look like a character from Breaking Bad in it. But the crazy thing about that is, like, I'm just off frame in that photo, but there's other photos that same person took. And it's actually the weirdest coincidence about that is that we're waiting in line to play a game that we'd never heard of before called Halo. And so it was right before we played Halo for the first time at E3 in 2001. So that's a really crazy coincidental photo.
And now the circle is complete.
Right. And oddly enough, a baby Gavin is in the background of it. So.
And then we all got married.
And then we crashed the plane.
I want to talk about this thing real fast because I'm going to give it away while we're recording.
Are you going to give it away to me because it's actually pretty cool?
Can I have it?
What'd you say? Yeah.
You can give it to me.
Gus just grunted when he picked that up, by the way.
What did
you do? Oops.
I took off a piece to turn the lighting on. It's made by a company called Triforce. It's a replica of an M8 Avenger from Mass Effect. It's really heavy. I believe it was a limited edition of 500, and this is number 14 out of the series.
And that's actually fully functional, right?
It's really heavy. I believe when this thing they don't sell it anymore. When it was for sale, they sold it for $650.
And they sold most of them to the Iraqi army.
We sent
right?
someone down the line while y'all were waiting in line, talking to people, and they picked someone.
Hey, Gus, is that heavy?
It's really heavy.
Okay. So wait, I'm sorry, what'd you say? They picked somebody for what?
I sent someone down the line to talk to people who were waiting in line to come into this panel.
Okay.
And they picked 3 people.
Okay.
And one of those people is going to win this.
All right.
That is fucking awesome.
And that person is Sean Mitchell.
Sean Mitchell?
Yes!
Hey! He literally said, oh my God, and then stood up.
Are you a member of the Iraqi army?
No, it's just the uniform. I plan to join next year.
So wait. So you're wearing a military uniform?
Can I have it when you're?
No.
All right.
So you're not actually in the military?
Not yet. No.
Not yet. Don't wear that to your recruitment appointment because they might get a little freaked out by it. Just so you know. So where do you get a military uniform?
Or you could and just start ordering people around.
Or you could do what Dan did when he came to work at our last company, which is just show up and say you're part of it. I wonder if you could do that at the Army. Just like show up to basic training.
I think that's
the
recruiting policy.
I did not say it was the heaviest gun in the world. I just said it was
looks
fucking
like
heavy.
We got a badass here.
Don't make me take the goddamn prize back.
Gus is not saying it wasn't heavy, but I watched him struggle with it. He had to brace it on his leg.
And it groaned.
I'm not a strong man. You saw, like, the animated adventures or stick arms, it's, like, pretty practical.
There's, like, a bead of sweat here on you.
Shut the hell up. This is the guy who sweats eating fried chicken.
I resent that.
I'm in no mood.
Never in any mood.
All right, we over here?
Oh. My friend and I were hoping to start up our own Machinima series, and we were wondering if you had any pointers on how to make it better.
I haven't seen it. I don't know. How to make it better?
How to make it good.
Okay, how to make it good. Did you make it bad? Okay, first of all, you need to get better at promotions. That would be my first thing. So tell you what, if you put it online and then send us a link, I can promise you that
Gavin@roosterteeth.com. Again, that email is Gavin@roosterteeth.com.
I'll make you a deal. We'll give you honest feedback. Send us a link, and we will watch it on a podcast and give you real-time feedback on it. How does that sound?
Okay.
Yeah.
Don't cheer for him. Don't say a wow. That's going to be brutal.
You're clapping now. Just wait. What's it about, your Machinima series? What's your Machinima
series? I know. I'm sorry.
What's that?
I think we see what the problem is.
Yeah. You need a plot and some characters.
This band of soldiers is in a canyon.
Go on.
Excuse
me, can I interrupt you for a second? What game are you using to make your Machinima series?
Halo 3.
Oh, there we go.
You'll be hearing from multiple legal departments shortly.
Hey, can you do me a favor? Can you hire Joel? That'd be awesome. Yeah, send us a link and we'll take a look at it. We'll take a look at it and we'll review it on the podcast.
All right.
So, good luck. Yeah.
Hey, just had a great weekend and I was wondering what we'd be doing different for our next RTX.
Opening this wall was a great idea. Yeah. So.
On paper, 4,000 people is a lot bigger than you think it is in your head.
On paper, it's bigger than your head?
I'm sorry. In practice. I'm really drunk. In practice, in person, it's a lot bigger than you think it is when you're imagining planning an event. So we'll have bigger spaces in the future.
Yeah. Yeah, so just to give you a little bit of perspective, the portion of the convention center we're using is actually what they call the small end of it. Like, South by Southwest is held here every year, and this is the part of the convention center they don't use, right?
Yeah, it's like nothing.
It's weird, because this is the front of the convention center with the cool foyer and all that, but they've even blocked that off for our event. Like, they don't ever use that one rotunda or whatever the hell they call it. I've never seen that part of the convention center before our event. Have you?
No.
It's like the fancy part, but this is the main entrance. So we got the ability to grow like all throughout this thing, and I think we'll take advantage of that next year. Yeah. Let me ask you. Ask you as a, you know, show a sign here. How many of you think you'll come back for RTX 2013?
I want to see that one guy. The one guy's like, fuck this. I'm not coming back.
What's that guy's problem? He's like, no. Over here?
All right, yeah, I'm Franz Garfunk from New Jersey. I heard some rumors going around that I never heard before. Are you guys planning on doing a full-length movie?
We always have that plan in the works. But, yeah, we do have a couple different properties that we have been developing over a long period of time to make into a movie, all usually comedic stuff. And the stuff we're working on now is like another stair step towards that as we do like longer series that are live action since we've moved away from the short. So, yeah, that's always on the roadmap somewhere.
The movie's called Wreck It Ralph.
No. It's Break It Bruce.
Oh, Break It Bruce.
We've been over this.
So yeah, it's always in the works.
All right, thanks.
I know Gus already shared his creepy story, what is some of y'all's other good, funny, or creepy stories that's happened at RTX this year?
Specifically at RTX?
Well, you know, anything funny, but at RTX specifically would be cool.
I had that one weird story about a convention in general, but I think I already talked about that in the podcast with the tiger on the page or whatever.
No. There was a girl.
I'm at a convention. A girl walks up to me. She has a giant book of pictures. Okay, great. She opens a pickup. I'm drunk. She opens a book of pictures and she's like, "Oh, hey, look! I have all these pictures that I've drawn. It's like a tiger. It's like, oh, that's really cool. That's a really good tiger. That's really, really nice. That's a good tiger." She turns a page and it's a tiger and Joel. It's like, oh, that's nice. It's a tiger and Joel. It's very, very nice. Whatever. I'm telling the story wrong, but basically, by the time I turned the page, it was like, now here's a picture of a tiger and a guy, and the tiger and the guy, or whatever. And then you turn the page, it's like, oh, there's a picture of a tiger and the guy having sex. Oh, that's very nice. The picture of this. Oh, look, you're on the next one. No, I'm good. I'm good. Thank you for the book. That was a little weird.
Yeah, I would say slash fan fictions are always a particularly interesting conversation when people want. Do you guys know what a slash fan fiction is?
Yeah.
Yeah. The way you moaned, yes, that's how I feel about it too. So, yeah. So, someone asking for your opinion of their slash fan fiction about you and Gus.
It's really good. It was awesome.
Yeah. And Gus and Jeff read them. That's the worst part.
No, the worst part was that one time we were sharing a hotel room in Portland. We were working on this television commercial. I don't know why we were fucking sharing a room. And Jeff was laying in bed reading Simmons Griff slash fan fictions to me. I was like, are you trying to tell me something?
With pictures?
Yeah.
Wow.
But Gus is on the edge of the bed like this, listening.
So I just saw something really weird in our live stream chat. Someone said they wanted to know how much input we had in Halo 4, which is zero. We're not game designers. But this person said that they're sitting in the audience and they're also in the live stream. Archvile 609.
So you're like, are you
you're watching the stream and you're also sitting here? Is there anyone else doing that, or is he the only one? There's like 10 of you, 15 of you. you're experiencing it for real.
Is the stream funnier?
No, but they're in here already.
That's true. You did call that guy out.
That's
right. Not
that, that's a bad precedent. No, I'm not doing that again. If you're here, fuck you. Get in line.
But you actually did have some influence on Halo 4. We definitely did animation support with you guys in mind.
Oh, yeah?
And the audience. So.
But like more frames per head bob or something?
No. The usual lore weapons, yeah, like teabag Bernie for extra points.
I believe at your panel here, didn't you confirm that you were able to drop weapons?
I confirmed a lot of things at that panel, but I had a lot of booze.
How are you? That's a good strategy for developer panels in the future. Just load them up and get all the secrets.
Drinking.
Can we buy you another drink?
So, Jack, you and Jeff were part of the Halo 4 panel. You guys played a map, right?
Yes, and we played the first ever Achievement Horse maps on Halo 4.
Damn it.
It was awesome.
Yeah.
Dude, there's something intimidating about playing Halo in front of a group about, 500, 600 people, however big these rooms are.
Yeah.
It's fun, but damn, is it very, very intimidating.
I'm pretty sure I'm playing in one of the esports main theater. I'm playing in one of those matches today, and I played last night. The nice thing about having a convention is after the hall closes, you get to walk over and play the stuff that takes a long time to play. So I snuck a game in of Halo 4. It's very true to the original, all the other Halo games, is because I am still shitty at Halo. So I know it's great. And I got my ass kicked completely.
Now, I will say the eSport arena is pretty nice because you're hiding behind a monitor, so no one knows how bad you suck.
Yeah.
So
oh, really?
It's like you're just one of five up there.
Except my name's going to be on the screen. Right.
Well, but no, it's not your name. It's like whatever the default name's already built
in.
I
think everyone at this panel realizes how bad we suck.
Joel is leaning back in his chair with a mic.
Dude, wireless microphone.
You already have the other mic, too.
Man, we're recording a podcast, Joel.
Who's ever editing the podcast is going to have a great time.
Thanks.
Who's
thanks.
Ever yep. editing the podcast is going to have a great time.
ADR on the clock.
Saved it. All right. Where were we at?
Yeah, where are we at? Who's next? You. You.
If you don't answer, I'm going to have to give stuff away.
I have two questions. One, with Immersion coming back, will Passcast come back as well?
No.
Why not?
What's that? Why, is that your second why? Question? Why not? Because we don't like it.
No, I just want to know why you bring Passcast back as well.
Well, we're not bringing Passcast back because Joel is tired of playing Hitler. So.
He was making me drive around the city.
Listen, I had one of... It was... Frank's going to be mortified that we keep bringing this up over and over again. But I had a moment where I had to pause and really evaluate my life because we just got a new annex. We've grown so much, we had to rent space next door to the studio. So we were moving things into storage and organizing it, and we were getting rid of old props, you know, that we didn't need anymore. And I actually said these words. Someone was holding up, do we want to keep that? I said, no, get rid of that. We have way better Nazi flags than that one.
Wow.
So I was like, what?
Hey, Bernie, aren't you half Jewish?
What's happened? What's happened to my life, you know, that I have to say something like that? And then somebody else mentioned they were, we were cleaning stuff out, and someone holds up this like this, and they say, hey, it just feels like it's illegal to throw out a box of porn this big. Like we have to burn it or
well,
bury
it. That's what led to our forced porn discussion.
You're right. So one of the things we discovered, too, on the podcast is that the really ridiculous ways you have to dispose of a flag... Or did we talk about the Bible?
How yeah. We talked about both on the podcast. Yeah.
They have to bury a Bible.
Yeah.
Has anyone ever done
a Bible
tree?
It grows,
Bible tree. It grows back. Yeah. All right, over here.
Hi, I'm TBSWK on the site.
Hi, TBSWK.
Hi, Gus. I've been dying to ask this question all weekend, actually. I'm really excited for your live stream podcast stuff.
Yeah.
But I'm wondering how you're going to censor yourselves because occasionally you say stuff that has to be cut or bleeped. And if
well, this, mean this, occasionally,
this like, podcast right here is making me reevaluate yeah. the whole process.
No, it's a really good question. It's something we're going to have to find kind of the sweet spot on.
No, it is tough. Like, Joel and I have actually gone on the radio a whole lot recently with the guys here in Austin, the ESPN radio here in Austin. And to, like, have to censor yourself, it's difficult, man. Because you get so used to just like, being able to say whatever you want. And then not being able to curse is not easy. If when you're used to it.
Fuck that.
Precisely. Yeah.
What do you guys do at your mom's house? Really? You just like blue streak all the way till dinner?
Where's Michael?
Yeah. You want to know what I do at Jack's mom's house? Jack actually doesn't like those jokes. I've actually made him mad.
You know, my parents actually were up here this weekend.
I know.
Yeah, they were really, it was pretty cool. Actually, my parents met Jeff's mom, so it was kind of like this weird thing where like
before
they're all
we go
in the family
further,
of Achievement Hunter.
Are Jack's parents in the audience?
They're not.
All right,
they're not. My dad was here earlier today, but I think he took off. He's not here. Dad, are you here? No. Okay, good.
It would be so confusing to be
go
like,
on.
To be your parent and then you meet Jeff and he has also an enormous beard. It's like. What's happening to my son?
It's like a cult or something.
Yeah, right.
Didn't you meet like one of the Epic Food Time guys?
Yeah.
And like
Epic
he had
time?
A big beard, and then you guys made out. And what happened?
It was Harley from Epic Meal Time, not Epic Food Time.
Epic Food
and,
Time.
Yeah, we rubbed. Rub,
it was Starly from Epic Food Time.
No, we rubbed beards together, and it was magic.
Oh.
We actually created the Higgs boson.
So I actually, I was worried about making Jack mad there, but I forgot to tell you guys the story last week.
What?
I think I actually made Gavin mad for the first time. He was mad at me.
How?
For like 2 hours.
I kicked him in the butthole. What did you do to make him mad?
I took it up a notch. So we were doing a signing in Australia, and we like, look, can we just take a break? Because there's a bathroom right across the hall. We need to go to the bathroom. And in Australia... It's the urinals is how he says it. Urinal is the urinal is like you stand on like a platform and you pee against a metal sheet that's on the wall. It's like a big open.
They
urinal.
Have those here, the troughs like you've all peed
at stadiums or whatever.
Yeah,
you
I
try to
I
chase
to...
the soap cake down in the drain. That's the whole.
Right.
I love that game.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Is that going to be a mini
what's
game
that
in
smell
Halo 4?
Like, Bernie? No, it's
smells
good.
It smells like pine and failure.
So there was enough dudes there. We had to follow the male etiquette in the bathroom where it's like too many guys. So Gavin went to the end and I went into one of the stalls. I guess I finished before Gavin. I came out of the stall. Gavin's still going. So I walked up and kicked him in the butt. describes it. Here's the metal sheet. Yeah. And my knob touched it. And he described it as like a soft gonging noise that it makes. And he was furious.
Oh my god.
For two, and I finally got to admit, yeah, he was really furious at me.
Oh my god.
And so when we got back to the booth, you know, we always have hand sanitizer on, so I said, just go scrub it in. And I think he did it, and that didn't make him any happier after he did that.
That's fucking disgusting.
So
Gus is mortified because that would have ended way worse for him.
Yeah. And once again, Gavin, whenever he does, whenever he does those motions, he always uses two fingers when he does it. So he's very proud of himself.
Welcome to the Rooster Teeth podcast, Frank.
Yeah,
having fun up here.
Yeah, we're now at the 40-minute mark.
Thanks, guys. Right. Are we going to see more spoiler cast?
Oh, sorry. Real fast. Hold on one second.
Someone in the stream, I don't know if this is true, so you all have to fact check this. Rambros01, the platypus's barb is also used as a penis.
No.
That might be true, though. It's Australia.
You're full of shit, Rambros01. Sorry about that, whoever I interrupted.
All right, I'm going to text Gavin and tell him that I just told that story.
Can you call him?
We cut it out of the podcast if he doesn't want to hear it.
I'm going to call him.
Just edit it out.
No.
Edit it out.
I'm going to call him. Here we go. I'll do this.
We'll all forget.
No, I'll see what I can do. You guys go ahead. I'm going to try to figure out my
phone.
Okay,
who did I cut off?
Are we going to see more spoiler cast?
Yeah, I hope so. I had a lot of fun doing that.
We want to do one for Game of Thrones.
And Breaking Bad. Absolutely Breaking Bad. Dude, Breaking Bad starts next Sunday, by the way, Gus.
Yeah, have fun in San Diego. I'm going to watch it.
I've got TiVo going. I get home Sunday night, so I'll watch it when I get home. So,
oh, you'll probably see it before me then. That's a great idea.
I will end whoever does that.
His beard.
I am
going to
after
Knox.
You in the night.
So we're waiting here.
Frank, do you watch Breaking Bad or
no? I watched all of Breaking Bad in one sitting, basically, with the DVD box sets and some rentals. Is it on AMC? I want to say AMC.
Yes.
Yeah,
oh, thank God, because I don't have HBO. Like, everything else is on HBO.
Well, it's not TV.
There's just what?
I'll tell a spoiler right now from the last... No, I can't.
Well, what's on HBO? It's just basically Game of Thrones on HBO, isn't it?
They got the True Blood as well.
I'm
not ashamed.
I got voicemail here. Hey, Gav, it's Bernie. Hey, listen, I'm in a room full of 1,000 people. And I'm wondering if it's okay if I tell the story where you touched your genitals against a dirty urinal wall. Call me back. Let me know. Thanks.
Should have done the same.
He is single, ladies. In case you're wondering. All right.
That's so gross.
He was so mad. And Gavin Mad is like, you can see the wheel turning in his head, the one gear that he has, and it's like, I got scared as to what he was contemplating to do to me. Platypi have a double penis.
Double penis.
Okay, she stood up to tell
us
that.
Has anyone else ever stood up and shouted, platypi have a double penis?
No.
Or is this the first time in the world that someone stood
bucket
up and
shouted? Bucket list. Maybe she stood up because there's one in her chair. Do you really think... Was that a burn? The platypus...
No, it's gross.
Oh, okay.
The burn was disgusting.
Okay.
Let's move on.
All
right. Monty's excited. Wait, they'll stay here. Monty wants to stay right here.
Monty made a comment.
Let's move on.
How are we doing on time?
Oh, well, I don't know.
Why did I ask Gus that? That's the first time in the history of the podcast I've asked Gus how we're doing on time.
Technically, the panel's supposed to end now, but we started a little late, so we can go a little later.
Oh, okay. That's the first time Gus ever said that.
Is there
our goal is to make Frank miss his plane. So that's our goal today. Who's next?
So I have a comment and a question. Back in podcast 84, you guys were talking about pacemakers and what they do and how you would never understand how a traumatic experience you would have to get one. I've had one since I was 12 years old, so about 10 years, through a series of heart defects. But my question is since you brought Freddie W. to this event, will you be doing more collaborations with you guys in the future?
How is that question related to your comment?
Like,
that was a weird turn.
Has this panel messed anything up?
I don't know if we need to sign a medical release.
So fill me in here, though, because I'm curious about the pacemaker. So it does it regulate your heart, like, at a steady rate? Is that what it does?
Yeah.
So, like, what happens if you start running?
Does it make Bernie's jokes any funnier?
No.
Possibly. No, my natural heartbeat's around 20 beats per minute.
What?
What it does, I don't know, it's retarded.
Yeah.
My heart's gone.
So you have a retarded heart.
Yeah, I like a heart murmur.
Okay.
And so what the pacemaker does is it keeps it at about 60 at rest. And if I exercise and go above 180, it will act as a defibrillator and shock me to re-steady the heart rate.
Whoa. I want to get one of those from Michael. No, to answer your question, so we hope with Freddie W., obviously we're big fans. As you know, he won Drunk Tank Video of the Year 2010.
Oh, shit, I should give him that trophy before he leaves town.
Probably so, you should. So, yeah, we love Freddie, and we would love to work with him. So we'll see. Hopefully having him as our keynote will guilt him into working with us. Frank was our keynote at last year's RTX. I don't know if you know that or not.
Yeah, now it's a huge success, so you're welcome.
Yeah. Frank got up and did 5 minutes of "we're going to sue the hell out of you" material.
Yeah, he showed up and served us with legal paperwork. Great to have you back.
That wasn't a keynote. That was a way to trick you into accepting the paperwork.
Yeah, that's why you get served.
Quick two-part question. Will Thief War 3 ever have anything comparable to Bungie Day?
So Bungie Day was actually yesterday.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And they had some announcements, right? They did a little, like, a new logo and some t-shirts and stuff, but they also announced they're working with Paul McCartney. Marty O'Donnell is working with Paul McCartney on some music.
Wow. Whoa.
So that is, I don't think there's, is there a band bigger than the Beatles?
I don't think there is a band ever bigger than the Beatles.
Well, aha, obviously.
Even Jesus and the Apostles was smaller than the Beatles.
Yes. Yeah, but so I mean we're not gonna, you know, we're not gonna just use the same template and just change the day. We have an internal 3-4-3 day, which Allison, what is 3-4-3 day? What's the actual day? I'm terrible at this.
It's gotta be December, right?
It's because American dates are backwards.
Like, she said, "Oh shit."
They are.
It's March 43rd, right?
It's the 343rd day of the year, which is near Christmas.
March
23rd is a lot easier to remember. Yeah, March. Yeah, I can do math.
I said March 43rd. Yeah. So do math on that.
Yeah. Anyway, it's internal, so we just, like, I don't know, we have pancakes and whatnot. So, yeah, we drink a lot.
Yeah, it'd be really awkward if that's all like Pearl Harbor Day or something like that. See, that's at the beginning of December.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it's one of those things, like, Bungie built this, like, amazing culture over, well, at least in the Halo period, over 10 years. Obviously, it goes way before that. And we're not Bungie. Like, we are built on their foundations, and we can't be more grateful or excited about that. But we've got to have our own culture, because it's got to be organic and natural. That's the most boring, dry answer to this whole thing. Should I say a swear?
Yes.
Let's
do like James Lipton. What's your favorite curse word?
I like to juxtapose curse words with regular words, but in an arbitrary fashion, like ass basket, shit kebab, and so on. Like, you should try it. It's really easy. Like,
shit kebab.
Yeah.
That's a terrible visual, actually.
Yeah,
that's awful.
Yeah.
That's skewer. Really awful.
Yeah, I will never be on Epic Meals, so.
Epic food done. Hey, where's the camera? Over here? Is that
No, look, straight ahead at the back.
Straight, okay, so Gavin sent me a photo of his reaction.
You want to zoom
that's
in for this camera?
All right, see if you can get this all the way on there. That's.
It's not on. It's off.
Well, we can all do that face,
really,
though, right?
It's really easy to fix. Yeah, so that's what Gavin said. And oddly enough, the background, it looks like he's in a free clinic somewhere. So it's appropriate.
Yeah, and you couldn't hear up from up here, but there's a noise, too. It's like, bong.
That's not my message tone. Bong. Where are we? You want to do one from there?
Yeah, well, I was going to say real fast, I found out that 343 day is typically December 19th.
There you go. Typically, yeah, but leap years, that's some probably daylight savings time as well, we'll wreck it.
That can't be right. 343, 65. It's 20 days prior to the end of the year. 65 minus 343.
Yeah, 363, and then 2 days from the 29th to the 31st.
Yeah.
Okay. Never mind. Bad math.
Math.
Yeah. Wait, what did you say? What did you say that was the date, though?
Maybe you changed the name of the company.
December 19th is 11 days before the end of the year.
Oh, you're right. 12 days.
Yeah. Math is
someone
the worst.
Someone's December 9th.
Yeah. How about number one industries?
I got that information from Allison, so that'd thanks for feeding me bad info.
Yeah.
January 1st Incorporated.
Yeah. There you go. Over here. Over there.
Oh. All right, so I'm Brendan from California, and so I've met a lot of the younger employees of Rooster Teeth while I've been here, and I got
about it.
Favorites.
Our favorite youngest member?
Yeah, wow. Of the younger guys.
Right here, brother. Right fucking here. I'm young.
You called yourself the oldest
brother.
You called yourself the oldest person on the stage earlier.
No, you said in the room.
In the room. Yeah, he's young.
Joel is wasted right now, by the way.
Are you? Joel, are you drunk? Young.
I have a different favorite depending on who's doing me the most favors and helping me out. So whoever gets me a beer, you're my favorite. Just saying.
I try not to pick a favorite among the youngest employees. My goal is to find which one is the hardest to kill. That's what I'm trying to do. It's a long-running selection process. I know that... No, it's not Gavin. And we've determined that Brandon is immune to electricity.
You know,
so
after Gavin's experience, he's no longer young.
I'm pretty sure at this point Michael can't be poisoned. So, you know, we'll find out. I actually think what happened, I finally have a theory on Michael. I think Jeff's liver just escaped. And it picked up a controller and made Rage quit.
I think something happened in the office the other day we didn't talk about. Have we talked about this in the podcast? About Gavin and Michael's stupid bet with the barbecue sauce?
Oh, God.
No.
Did we talk about this in the podcast?
Right?
We filmed it, but it was so uneventful, we're never going to put it out.
No, Michael's great in that, actually.
Yeah. So Gavin likes making stupid bets.
Yep.
And he got, I think he took it from a restaurant. He had like a bottle of barbecue sauce.
It's about this big,
yeah.
the bottle. Yeah.
And he walked into Achievement Hunter and he told Michael, I'll give you $500 if you can drink this entire bottle of barbecue sauce. So of course Michael said, done. Let's do this.
No hesitation. No. All right, yep.
And then as soon as he was so confident that Gavin was like, whoa, wait. I'll give you $500 if you can drink it, but if you can't drink it all, you have to pay me $100. So Michael's like, okay. So then his confidence again made Gavin nervous. So Gavin's like, no, wait. If you can drink all this barbecue sauce in, you know, at one go, I'll give you, or in 3 minutes,
yeah.
I'll give you $100. Michael's like, okay. So we went to the kitchen, and Michael sat there, and a container about that big just pounded in one large gulp of barbecue sauce.
There's a really great moment in that video, because this is exactly how it went. Michael went to start. They go, 3, 2, 1. He goes, you're fucked. And then he jumped around the thing. But he got one taste of it, and he knew he was going to win. And Gavin was out $250, so. Got to admire pure confidence. Michael's got it.
Yeah, he...
What's that?
Gavin's Jersey!
Oh, there you go. Jersey represented.
Yeah, Gavin started trying to solicit other people. Like, he started, like, a reverse bidding process. Like, will anyone drink this for less than $500? Will someone drink it for $400? He worked his way down.
Yeah, he tried to... We talked about the toilet seats in Japan when we were there last time, too.
Yeah.
And he tried to convince me to let the toilet seat spray me for $100. I'm a grown man. I'm not going to let a toilet seat spray me with water. It's not going to happen.
See, you know, I resisted for a long time as well. It's
no,
like a bidet.
You've got to just accept it.
The bidet's awesome.
It. It's fantastic.
Oh, God. You should spend some time with Gavin. You don't want to embrace anything.
It was like a Massengale commercial. Yeah. I was so clean.
So I priced those out. It's only like $600 for one of those toilet seats.
You can get...
Which is a lot of money, but it's like...
Yeah. You can get them for cheaper.
It'll change
your
life.
They also have heating, which sounds good, because you're like, oh, I live in a cold place. You guys don't. You live in Austin. It's like a crooked sheriff's underwear out there. But
yeah.
But when you live in a cold place, a cold toilet seat is very unpleasant, right? So, but what I discovered is if you sit on a warm toilet seat in Japan, it's like someone was just there.
Yeah.
Which is no.
You see, the problem is that if Bernie gets one of those, he's never getting up. That's it.
I'll live there.
We have a question here on the stream I thought maybe I'd ask.
Go for it.
So Caboose 34 said, question for Frank, how did you find out about Rooster Teeth, or what was your first interaction with us?
Somebody just sent a link, same way I found out about the birds and the bees. The two things are actually quite confused in my mind. But somebody sent a link and said, look what people are doing with Halo, and our minds were blown. That's it.
Really?
I think it was at Official Xbox Magazine when that happened, so it was quite a long time ago, about 10 or 11 years.
Have you ever heard the story about how that worked on our end? So Gus would track – this is before YouTube, yeah. So all the videos were served off of our server. And so Gus would sit there and watch the IP logs as they went by.
It was like some shitty service like freewebcounter.com or something.
Yeah. You know, I have a screenshot of our first web hit. Our first hit. It was me checking the server. But Gus would watch them go by, and it was like – you could watch things spread virally because you would get a hit from like Dell.com from people who worked at Dell, and you'd see one – and then another 5 would hit a couple minutes later, and then like 20 more would hit. And then we'd see that, and they would go to other places like, you know, some insurance company, and we'd see that from these domains coming in, hitting for the IPs. And like, I guess like 2 or 3 days into the adventure, we got one hit from Microsoft, and then we got 1,000 hits from Microsoft, and it went everywhere. And I think it was like the next day that the phone rang, and it was Bungie and Microsoft on the other line. And we got very fortunate that they were like – they liked what we were doing. They thought it was interesting and innovative. And they said, we just want to make sure you go about it the right way so that you can continue to do this. So it was cool. Really cool, because obviously that story could have ended much differently if that phone call had been the phone call I think everyone expected us to get. What?
And then we wouldn't be here today.
And we might not be here today. That's a good way to put it. So thank you very much, Frank.
Oh, you're welcome. That's all me.
Yeah, my name is Heath Garcia. I'm from Corpus Christi, or how Joe.
I'm sorry.
Joe puts it a medical needle in the sand. Thanks so much, Joe, for that.
What kind of shoes do you guys wear down there? Like metal.
Anyway, my question is this: since y'all rebranded from the Drunk Tank to the Rooster Teeth Podcast, y'all have sponsors. Are there any other doors that have opened since doing that? The things that are in the future, or other collaborations with other people or groups?
Yeah, we're all getting lucrative endorsement deals.
I sure love my Triforce replica.
He's not the youngest one.
Wow, Alan, you're just an enabler. Look at you.
Yeah.
That's what Joel needs is another beer.
Thanks, Alan.
I know. I'm working on it. No. I mean, we just – that was a recommendation from iTunes and some of our partners for sponsorships is that – you know, we think we learned after Drunk Gamers. All we wanted was free video games when we made Drunk Gamers, but nobody wanted their video games reviewed by a bunch of drunks. You thought we would have learned our lesson when we named our podcast The Drunk Tank.
Well, the Drunk Tank name was a holdover from the Drunk Gamers website.
It was. So we literally did not learn our lesson. Yeah. We reincorporated something that failed before.
Yeah, we actually got – yeah, we were really dumb to do that.
There's a really cool offshoot, though, something that's happened, especially as a result of the podcast being called The Drunk Tank, and that is that people tend to bring us booze at events, which is like the greatest thing ever. We did this tour down in Australia for DVDs, Gavin and I were on, and – every day we would go back to the green room and like the other special guests had gotten like a stuffed koala or like a towel that said Australia on it. And Gavin and I showed up with essentially like a full bar every day and just set it down and basically got the entire green room drunk.
Someone gave me a bottle of a Johnny Walker Blue here at our
Get out of here.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Really?
I'm not telling you where it is. I've hidden it in this convention center.
I think Joel has hidden it in Joel.
I think just by you saying that, you're going to cost us like $100,000 in damages that people are going to do to the convention center now ripping it apart. So,
hidden my liver.
What do you want to do? Another question or from the stream?
Let me give another one of these replicas away here.
Okay.
To the stream?
If you don't mind.
No.
So, also made by Triforce is this COG snub pistol from Gears of War. Again, we sent someone down the line to talk to people. We're going to give this one to Chase Bond.
That's not a real name.
It's wow. It's like a teenage secret agent.
They described it. On my screen, it says Chase Bond, colon, spiky hair dude. I think you're him. It says you have a unique talent, that you have odd veins, that you can make move. You know, get up here.
Yeah, I want to see that. I want to see weird.
Weird biology.
For what it's worth, I feel exactly the way you do, audience.
Yeah, I'm kind
of... I got to see this.
All right.
Wait, over here so the camera can see you.
All right.
That's what my hair looks like?
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is great.
All right. Give me a second.
Move the water bottle.
Oh, that's...
Oh!
Whoa.
Nice.
Well, yeah. For being a freak of nature, I'm going to give you this Cog snub pistol from Triforce. I'll get you the box over here.
I think we just broke Bernie, by the way.
No, I just... How the fuck do you discover that? That you can do that? I mean, I might be able to do that. I wouldn't ever know. I've never sat at home going, I hate you, you hand. I'm going to choke you.
Not that one.
Yeah.
What? You need that.
Yeah, I'll go my lefty. Yeah. So, hey, man, how did you discover that you could do that? You don't know. Okay, no, that's a good enough answer.
Yeah.
You don't know? You just figured it out one day?
Quote unquote, he was fucking with his hand. I want to make sure we have this recorded. He was fucking with his hand.
One day.
Yeah, he discovered it. Moving on.
Yeah, have you tried to progress your talent? Have you, like, spent a day fucking with your feet or anything like that? Just for the hell of it?
Bernie, can you read this sign down in front of us right now? Just
check your beard. It is 3:45, and you have been on for an hour and a half.
We got an alert that we have a beard check.
Beard check.
Thank you.
Okay, let's take a couple more questions then. Hey, listen, in my tradition, we're going to keep the podcast going. Hey, where are you going for lunch today? Tell us.
Me?
Yeah.
I was going to ask you guys the same question. I'm going to Kreitz's tonight.
Are you guys really? Oh, so listen, you're not going to Kreitz's tonight. Kreitz's is closed on Sunday.
Oh, thank
That's
you.
That's something we probably should let you know about. So,
Where should I go?
We talk about a lot of places we eat on the podcast, like local places. Kreitz's is awesome barbecue place. We go with E occasionally when he's down here.
I would say Rudy's, probably.
I've already been to Garage Mahal and Gordo's and Chosan Galbi.
If you're in, I put out a whole tweet about this today, but if you're around here, you go to Bacon, which is an all-bacon restaurant. And that's nearby. There is Frank, which is, and you can go in honor of Frank. Which
I'll
is
make a, you lunch.
Yeah. And you go to his place. He'll cook you up something.
Frank is a hot dog place, by the way.
Yeah. And
thank you.
And I don't know. There's some other places downtown. Like, you could always head down to South Congress. You can go to Home Slice Pizza and some of the other places we've mentioned are hot toddy. So.
Should I be taking notes?
Nah. You can just look up on Twitter. I tweeted about it a couple days ago. So. All
right. Thanks a lot.
All right. How about over here?
Go.
Hey, guys. This was about 2 years ago. It was right before you guys released the recollection. I was pre-ordering it, and I just happened to have a little notes section in the ordering area. I just happened to mention, hey, this comes out a couple days after I deploy. I was going to Iraq. And I just happened to mention it, and I was like, hey, if there's any way you guys can ship it out any earlier or anything like that. And lo and behold, the day before I deployed, the box showed up at my house. I don't know if you guys did that intentionally. I don't want to get anybody in trouble if they weren't supposed to do that, but I just wanted to say thank you. That really meant a lot to me.
All right. When I was No, well, thank you. I mean, we have, obviously, because of the nature of Red vs. Blue, we have a lot of people in the military who watch the show. And one of the most disturbing things of all is when they come and they talk to us about it, they always tell us how everyone in their troop or platoon is like the characters in Red vs. Blue. And the guy who's like Caboose always runs the biggest piece of equipment. There's literally a guy where they were introducing us to everyone, and they said, yeah, and he's just like Caboose. I go, what do you do? He goes, I run long-range artillery. I was like, oh, God, please no. So thanks. I'm glad it got to you before you deployed. Yeah. So I'm glad that worked out.
Yeah, come up here. I'll give you some more stuff.
Gus, do you want us to wrap up? You want us to wrap up? Okay, so I have the owner's duty of trying to tell us that we have to wrap up, and so that probably means we'll be done in like 20 minutes. So, yeah, over here.
I just have a quick question for Gus. Did you enjoy the bag of Funyuns I brought you?
Okay, oh,
okay,
no.
Okay, sorry. Wait for a second here.
I was so sleep-deprived and delirious this morning that I actually started... What to give that to? I actually started eating them. And they were delicious. So I decided that since I hate Funyuns, I renamed them Funyums. So I wrote over them with a marker, Funyums. So my bag of Funyums was absolutely delicious. If you follow me on Twitter, I think I even tweeted a picture of it and tagged it, hashtagged it RTX 2012. Because I was.
Oh, I did it!
You did it.
And now I never want to stop. You saw it, right?
Because it turns out 100% of people who've ever tried that are able to do it. So.
Enough with playing with veins in your hands. Well,
he was fucking with his hand.
Yeah, I can do it too.
We should wrap this shit
up. Oh, you can do it.
Yeah. Everyone can do that. Sorry, bro. Your superpower is quite common.
Yeah. Turns out you kind of suck.
Yeah. Should we take any more questions, or do you want to wrap this up?
I guess we should probably wrap it up.
Can I say something before I go? Because I have to get on a plane.
Yeah, hey, Frank. Yeah, Frank. What would you like to say?
I just wanted to say thanks to Rooster Teeth for putting on a really spectacularly expanded and amazing convention. And, Thanks for having one of the best, largest, and most energetic communities in, obviously, Rooster Teeth's umbrella and the Machinima umbrella, but we think of you guys as an extension of our community as well, and we're grateful to the relationship that we have with you guys. And I have to go get on a plane.
All right. All right.
Thank you.
Thank you, Frank. And I bet he's wishing he really said that just before the first Holocaust reference. I bet timing could have been a little better. I can't think of anything we could possibly say after that to wrap up any better. So, Gus.
We always wrap up with where you want to go for lunch.
Where do you want to go for lunch?
I already ate lunch. Let's go to dinner.
I think today for lunch, I think I might venture down to Home Slice.
I'm wearing my Home Slice shirt.
Oh, are you?
My wife hates this shirt.
Get where are you guys going?
Dude, I wore a Home Slice shirt yesterday.
Monty, do you have anything to say?
I tried to go to Fogo, but they were fucking closed this morning. What the fuck?
It's Sunday. Morning. It's Sunday at 10 a.m.
I think I go to Double Dave's, the pizza buffet.
Oh, you went from Fogo to Chow to Double Dave's pizza.
Well, Fogo's like right across the street.
It's all just buffet. Monty doesn't mind. All right, well, hey, thank you very much for coming out to the very first ever live Drunk Tank podcast.
If you happen to have a corona on you, don't go backstage because they do not approve of that.
All right, well, thank you, everyone. We're wrapping this up.
Thank you.
Hey, everyone. We have a special guest with us right now. We have John Erler.
Hello. Thought you were talking about me.
No, not you, Brandon. John from the Master Pancake Group, who also plays a voice in Red vs. Blue. Thanks for joining us, John.
It's great to be here. Thanks for having me.
He's the voice of Agent North.
That's right.
Now a proud father of the Theta AI.
I am a very nurturing character.
I don't know if you saw the most recent episode, but he has a skateboard now. So now you can yell at
That's
him.
That's not true.
Dumb kid. No, he really does.
He really does have a skateboard.
Is that true? I haven't seen that.
Theta's totally extreme.
That is not true.
It is.
Are you guys pulling my leg?
I wish we were. No. I
do know that some weird things happen to the AIs. I know that there's one who's continuously on fire.
Yes. That's Sigma, who's the one voiced by Elijah Wood.
And that premiered last night, so there's a big Elijah Wood premiere.
Yes.
That's pretty exciting. Why, can I ask, I love playing North, and Rooster Teeth is the best, and Red versus Blue is the best, but there's some plot points that I don't, I don't get all the plot points. So why is Sigma on fire?
He is a representation, and Bernie Burns would be a much better person to answer this question, but I'll do my best to answer it.
Could you do it in the voice of Bernie Burns?
I don't have any fried chicken to put in my mouth at the moment, so that'd be kind of difficult. He's supposed to be, I believe, a representation of anger and rage.
So isn't it Sigma's creativity, as I understand it?
Sorry, creativity.
Anger is the omega.
Correct. Yes. Correct. You are correct.
Yeah.
Oh.
So to answer your question, I don't know why he's on fire.
It looks cool, though.
Maybe we'll find out at some point this season.
Yeah. I feel like...
Someone's got to be.
Yeah. I don't know. It's very sinister that he's on fire all the time. I feel like he's broadcasting from hell or something.
Him being on fire is a pain in the ass because it takes a lot longer to render those sequences anytime there's something that's on fire. There's a lot more that goes on with that.
Yeah.
Fire and water, they're tough.
Yeah.
to make it look anywhere realistic. Anyway, we as much as I love talking about Red versus Blue, we didn't bring you on here to have an exclusive Red versus Blue discussion.
Oh, we didn't?
We want to talk about some of your other projects to let people know about them.
Well, we are, as you mentioned, I do a comedy show here in Austin. It's a very popular show at the Alamo Drafthouse, which is a fantastic theater, one of the best theaters in the country. You get to eat food and drink beer, and they have all kinds of wonderful events. But we do a weekly show, sort of an MST3K-style movie-mocking show called Master Pancake Theater. And, you know, we make fun of most of the bad movies and a few good movies, too. But we will be taking our show to the Great Northwest in late July. So I just wanted to give a heads up to folks who live out there. If you know anybody who lives in Seattle and Portland, Master Pancake will be visiting your town very soon. On July 19th, we'll be in Seattle, and we'll be playing at the SIFF Theater. It's an acronym, the SIFF, the Seattle International Film Festival, uptown.
Is it across the street from the Jedi Theater?
I would love it if that were the case. But we'll be at the SIFF Uptown on the 19th in Seattle, and then the 20th and the 21st will be in Portland at Cinema 21.
So for people who aren't familiar with, you know, Master Pancake or MST3K, which maybe there's a couple of them.
I would assume with your listeners that everybody knows what MST3K is. But on the off chance that there's nobody who knows what that is, first off, go watch some MST3K DVDs and get up to speed. Second of all, it's basically me and two other comedians sitting in the first row with microphones and talking smack over the movie. And we'll be doing Twilight in Seattle and Portland, which is one of our funnest, funniest shows and one of my favorite movies to do because, A, it's just so bad and I think everybody knows it, and B, it's wildly popular for some reason. Yeah. Have you guys seen the Twilight movies?
I have. I'm sorry to say I haven't gotten around to watching those yet. If I were to watch them, I think any Master Pancake showing would be the ideal way to do that.
That's how I saw the first one. And there's two moments that will always stick with me. One was, I guess there's one point where he saves her from the truck, and you re-edit it to where there's just an explosion, and then the end credits come in, 30 minutes into the movie.
Fun. We mess with the movie a little bit, but yeah.
And the other one was every time you see her crappy pickup truck, there was the theme from Sanford and Son.
That's it.
So it's fun to see that little thing coming back over and over and over. But that was the first time I saw the movie. It was a Master Pancake show.
It's a really fun running joke. And, I guess that's one difference between us and MST3K. We try to take it a little further by not only talking over the movie, but actually editing it sometimes by adding extra music in, like the Sanford and Son theme, or adding special effects like Bella getting blown up by getting hit by a truck in the parking lot of her high school.
So the Alamo normally discourages people from talking during the show, but it seems like they're definitely encouraging you to talk to the show, to talk over the show.
Yes, our show it's a special case, I guess. And still, we don't like the audience to talk during those shows. It really is just the three comedians with the microphones who are talking during that.
But have you ever had a problem with someone trying to join or hijack the show?
Every now and then, but most of the time they're just drunk, you know, and having a good time. And if they get too out of control, then we'll have somebody kick them out. But we do have some audience participation in the form of a drinking game. Every time some, you know, recurring theme happens in the movie, we'll decide before the movie starts with the audience what they want to shout out when that happens, and that's pretty fun.
Mm-hmm. What was the cue for the Jurassic Park show?
It was a double drinking game for the Jurassic Park show. One was every time Jeff Goldblum makes a witty one-liner, you take a drink, which really, if you're paying any attention at all, will get you shit-faced by the end of the movie. And the other one was any time a body of water ripples in the movie, you take a drink, which of course happens every time the T-Rex shows up. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah, that was like a cool thing they did in that movie the first time, where you see the little cup of water and start shaking when the T-Rex approaches. Then they really fall in love with that idea and they do it.
over and over again. Yeah, and the RTX crew, we performed for RTX on Saturday. And by the way, what a great time I think everybody had there. That was an amazing, amazing great. Job you guys did.
Thanks.
And you know, it's just going to get bigger and bigger every year. But everybody I saw there was having a great time. I had a blast. But we performed our Jurassic Park show there, and the audience. We asked them what did they want to shout out for the drinking game, and somehow, I don't know how, but the audience as a group decided they wanted to shout out "Hey titties" every time.
I mean, if you're going to shout something, why not something you're enthusiastic about?
You can't say that word without smiling.
Yeah.
Like, it's impossible to have a frown and say titties.
That's right.
I tried. It didn't work.
You can't do it.
I'm thinking about the word, and I can't frown. We're just immature. I think we're all 8 years old.
That's true. Peppers.
So, yeah, you had a show on Saturday evening at RTX,
yep.
which was not available for streaming, unfortunately.
Due to legal reasons.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It was a good time, I hear. I wish I could have made it up there. But
it was a lot of fun.
I was busy walking around like a zombie trying to deal with other issues.
Well, there were so many things going on. Did you end up having a good time, or did you feel like you were working for most of it?
Oh, I got to the convention center, I think, at 8 a.m. on Thursday, and I really left on Monday at 2 p.m. So it was a lot of work.
The answer is no.
You literally didn't leave from Thursday till Monday?
I slept. I would leave to sleep 2 or 3 hours at a time.
Wow.
But that was about it. That really doesn't count. I'm told that on Saturday night, my wife was talking to me. Like, I went back to sleep for a couple hours. My wife was talking to me, and in mid-sentence in my reply, I just fell asleep. And that was it. So I'm glad to hear that it went well for you guys and that you had a good time. That makes me so happy that everything went okay. We had a little bit of trouble getting a Blu-ray player that would work and get our audio. So luckily, I think it was your girlfriend that came through in a pinch.
And my girlfriend, Joanne, if she's listening, thank you so much, honey. Yeah, at the last minute, I called her up and said, can you bring our DVD player from home down here? And she brought it and everything was fine.
So. Yeah, we had one of those stupid Blu-ray players that doesn't have standard audio outputs. Yeah. So there was no way to
When they said that, I was like, that's ridiculous. Like, who would make a Blu-ray player that doesn't have audio, like RCA audio out?
Yeah, it's little proprietary plugs.
Yeah, what's the point of that? Like, really?
So you can only buy their speakers.
I see.
So you have to buy. It's
unnamed
like trying to
company brand.
Thanks, Sony. I'll say it. I don't care. What do they got?
Did I ever show you that picture I had from Armageddon? It was like a Sony TV, and they had a reel going. This is after the show finished, and you know the reel had ended, and it went back to the iMovie menu. So it was like a Sony TV with the Sony logo, make believe, and then the video on it was little iMovie default menu, little Apple logo in the corner.
Yeah, I know that reel you're talking about very well. That menu screen, I've used that one. Many
you know
times.
Who else knows it really well?
Hmm.
Sony.
Like, I feel like I know all of their default DVD templates, and I know all of their default loops for music.
Yeah,
like I hear it on local commercials. You'll hear it all the time, like the Platinum Inc.
Mm-hmm.
The tattoo place here in Austin.
Oh,
like,
yeah,
I know that loop very well.
That's right.
What do you got there?
Pulled up the Theta clip for John. Hit play.
Okay. You can
with
see
the skateboard.
He does not believe that Theta
has
a skateboard.
I still don't believe it. Does he also chew bubble gum and wear his pants halfway down his butt?
There's no spoilers here.
I'm a little intimidated actually being on the podcast with John because we're like amateur wannabe comedians, but like John makes people laugh for a living.
Yeah.
You're totally underselling yourself. You guys are hysterical.
Now, John was also on the freelancer panel on Sunday, and that was streamed, I believe. I haven't checked to see if it's available, but that was, I think, to me, one of the most entertaining panels because it was about five or six, mostly comedians, a lot of improv actors, and just having fun. We ended up going like an hour over, you know, just because everybody was having a really good time.
Yeah, well, when you get performers together, especially improv people, you know, they can just work off of each other really well.
Yeah, and it was almost everyone. It was Tex, North, South, the director, CT, York.
I feel like the
and
only
Matt
person,
was there. Who's Wyoming?
The only person who wasn't there was Asaf, maybe.
Asaf Lietti.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Every time someone mentions York, I was thinking of the peppermint patties. That must be like effective marketing or something. Yeah. Like, I cannot separate
programmed.
I cannot separate York from peppermint patties. I picture that silver wrapper and that delicious chocolate and mint. So how long have y'all been doing Master Pancake? Because I've been trying to think about the first time I heard about it, and it must have been like 99, 2000?
Very good, yeah. We started with the predecessor to Master Pancake, which was called Mr. Sinus Theater.
Yes, I remember that.
Mm-hmm. And we actually got into a little bit copyright trouble with the name because, you know, we were just doing it in, you know, back in 2000 when we started, we were just doing it as a kind of goofball tribute to MST3K, Mystery Science Theater 3000. So we wanted the name to convey, you know, to people what we were, you know, paying tribute to. So mm-hmm. we made it as close as we could.
Mm-hmm.
And we probably made it a little bit too close to the original because after about 2 or 3 years of doing the show, and, you know, like I said, we started off and we did like one show a month and nobody came. And then, you know, we did it over and over again. And after a few months, the word got out and we got funnier and better. And we started picking better movies to do. So instead of doing the, you know, B science fiction movies from the 50s and 60s, which was, you know, kind of the staple for MST3K, we started doing more current movies like Top Gun and Red Dawn and Karate Kid and stuff like that. And then people started showing up more. But once we started getting popular, I guess the original Mystery Science folks heard about what we were doing and heard about the name, which was, again, Mr. Sinus Theater 3000.
Mm-hmm. I could see how they'd be confusing.
In retrospect, I can really see, that was a problem for them. And so they very sternly said, look, you either need to change your name to something a little less confusing to folks, or we'll slap you with a lawsuit. And so we changed it to The Sinus Show. And then that evolved later on into what it is now, which is Master Pancake Theater.
Oh, is there any meaning behind Master Pancake?
There's almost no meaning behind Master Pancake. But the story is that when we were being threatened with a lawsuit by MST3K, we knew we were going to have to change our name. We came up with a list of about 100 different alternate names that we thought might be good. And the one that always made us laugh was Master Pancake Theater. And I don't know how we came up with that or what the story is. But every time we would, every time we needed like a go-to name for the group that made us laugh, you know, when we were just talking about, well, if we had to change our name, it was always Master Pancake Theater. So somehow that stuck when we actually needed, you know, a different name.
Well, I hope Hey Titties Theater was a close second.
Because it's a lost opportunity.
If Master Pancake goes down the tubes and we need a new name, then Hey Titties is number one on the list.
Now, you also do some special shows. I remember one of my favorite was Kirk versus Picard. And I went to the first one. I think I was supposed to go for the second one, but I had to work. It was either that or it was Data versus Spock.
Yeah.
But Kirk versus Picard was excellent.
Those are fun shows because those
you
are
were,
just...
You were wrong, though.
Oh, no. Yeah, I took the position of a Kirk. We've done about 5 different Next Generation versus Old Generation, TOC, whatever you want to call it, Star Trek shows. And we show one episode of each. And I take a position in favor of the old generation, and then Joe Parsons, who's in the show with us, usually takes the Next Generation position. And the first 2 shows we did of that were Kirk versus Picard. And I believe, you know, and at the end, the audience gets to decide, you know, after watching the episodes and hearing our, you know, positions, they get to decide who's better. And the first one, Kirk won, and the second one, Picard won.
And you guys stop the movie, right? And you do a skit. It's funny because Joe looks a lot like young Kirk. And then I'd say you look like Picard. It's mostly the hairstyle.
It's the baldness, yeah. But so we had to, yeah, in the skit at the halftime, we had to take the role of the character that we disliked. So Joe, who was defending Picard, had to take the Kirk role. And I was defending Kirk, and I had to take the Picard role. And we had a debate, but we were, you know, I was undermining my own argument in favor of myself because I didn't want Picard to win. Right. So it was pretty fun. So I don't know if that makes sense or not, but it was pretty hysterical.
I get it. So if you're defending Kirk in this scenario, do you get to pick the original series episode or what you're going to show?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So you definitely make sure you cherry pick, like...
Well, yeah. It's tough, though, because we also do it by theme. And I think the second time we did it, the night that Kirk lost... The theme was Captain beams down to the planet and is trapped in a one-on-one battle with a creature that he can't communicate with. So for the Kirk episode, we did the one with the Gorn. I don't know if you remember.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I can't remember the title of that episode, but, you know, he has to fight against this sort of lizard-like giant creature with a, you know, Flintstones, you know, outfit on. It's not a great episode. I'll freely admit it's probably not Kirk at his finest. It's definitely Kirk at his cheesiest, you know, throwing like paper mache rocks at this, you know, lizard creature. But the matching episode in Next Generation to that was, it's a great episode, and it's no surprise the Picard one. That
what
one
you talking about?
It's the one where I think the title is Darmok.
It's the alien race that only talks in metaphors.
Exactly, and it's just a beautiful episode, and everybody's in tears by the end because, you know, the alien captain that Picard is trying to communicate with, who he finally figures out what the language is. It's based on metaphors, and then the alien captain, who's played by. I think by Paul Winfield, who's a great, you know, sort of character actor from the 80s and 90s. And, you know, yet another black dude on Star Trek who's covered up by prosthetics. You know, it's sort of a stereotype. But he does a great job as the alien captain, and he dies at the end and sacrifices his life for Kirk and the greater good. So Picard won that one, but...
I don't think I've ever seen that episode.
No, that's not a classic one. That along with the flute, it's like one of the classic episodes.
I know the flute one, yeah.
Yeah. And you know, you keep saying, what is it? The recurring phrases like Darmok at Tanagra, you know, Jalad with hands open wide, and Picard is like, well, I don't understand what you're talking about. a lot of people don't know that Picard was played by Jay Peterman from Seinfeld in that episode. it's just a beautiful episode. So kudos to Picard. But then after we did the first two Kirk versus Picard shows, we did one Spock versus Data, and I defended Spock. And
which is also wrong.
No. That one I'll stand firm on. I understand Kirk is cheesy and he's not for everybody, but Spock is so goddamn badass. And compared to Data, come on. And we showed Amok Time, I think is the name of the episode, where Spock has to go back, you know, every 7 years to mate on his home planet, and his blood boils, and he actually ends up killing Kirk in that episode, which you should probably appreciate. And we paired that up with the Next Generation episode where Data, for some reason, he decides to go on a date with a girl, and he's terrible at it, and he's just a putz through the whole episode, honestly. So... that was fun. Yeah. And I will say this, every time we do one of these original versus next generations, the audience who comes to the show, you know, 150, 200 people, they come in being mostly next generation fans. We poll the audience beforehand. We say how many people here are in favor of next generation. And about 2/3 of the audience, says they're next generation fans. But by the end of Spock versus Data, the entire audience... unanimously agreed that Spock was more badass than Data. Yeah. So
I got to say, I'm a Picard fan in the Captains, but I think I'm definitely more of a Spock fan than a Data fan.
Yeah,
just because I associate Data with those terrible holodeck episodes where he plays Sherlock Holmes, and I fucking hate those episodes.
No, like the last ones were really good.
No,
you see, no, when Moriarty becomes like he becomes self-aware, he's no longer like this two-dimensional character. He's no longer like blatant evil.
But
he just wants to exist.
All of that's a cop out.
How is that a cop out?
All of that holodeck stuff is a cop out. It's not Star Trek.
I'm not defending the holodeck. I'm just saying that's a good episode. Because that episode isn't so much they go in the holodeck. It's they've created life, and that life realizes that the existence that it was created for, it's nothing. It's not satisfying. It wants to be more, you know, and it's something that everyone can appreciate and you can sympathize with.
You could do that in a more sci-fi Star Trek
scene. And he takes over the ship.
Why do they have to use Moriarty? I fucking hate those episodes, dude.
What do you have against Moriarty?
I hate fucking...
Data Sherlock Holmes and Gangster Picard.
Yeah, Gangster Picard, I'll give you.
How about Robin Hood Bridge? You remember that one? Where they beam down to the planet and everybody takes a character from the Merry Men.
Oh, God, I don't think I've seen that one either.
Oh, it's terrible.
It sounds awful.
And then the one where they go back, this might be the Sherlock Holmes one, too, where they go to old San Francisco and meet Mark Twain.
No, that was the finale and premiere, I think, of season 3 and 4 or 4 and 5. Mm. That's when Data's head was... and stuck in time for 1,000 years or something like that. Yeah, Futurama parried it. And
they dig up Data's head and they're like, what the fuck?
I like the Futurama episode much more than the Next Generation episode.
I agree.
But Gus, I agree with you. The holodeck is like, it's built-in jumping the shark right there. It's lazy writing. It allows them to just go wherever they want and, you know, without any sort of consequence.
Or I feel like it's almost like the writers were like, I don't want to write another Star Trek episode. I'm going to write something a little different to change it up.
I
want to
write a Sherlock Holmes episode.
Yeah.
And I love Moriarty. Let's use the holodeck. Uh-oh. We're getting a...
That's us. Thanks for silencing your phone, Brandon.
I was showing him the clip.
Thank you for showing me the clip.
Yeah, but
it's true, folks.
They use it to good use sometimes, like when Worf is in there, like fighting and stuff. Like it's there's some times where it's not the central part of the story.
Correct.
In which it's a very cool accessory.
There are appropriate uses for the holodeck. Reskinning the entire episode as something else is not an appropriate use.
That's true. So. Another Star Trek Next Generation versus Old Generation we did, and I'd be curious to hear you guys' opinion on this. We did, we were kind of running out of ideas at this point, so we did Riker versus Kirk for the title of Ultimate Ladies Man of the Universe.
Mm-hmm.
And which is a dubious distinction at best.
I think, I would think Kirk would win that one pretty handily.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they both sleep around quite a bit.
Riker's very seedy and gross.
He's very sleazy.
So I think he's more successful. Like, he literally fucked his way out of a jam once on an alien planet. Like, he's like, I need you to help me escape, alien. She's like, yeah, but only if you fuck me. And he's like, all right.
Yeah, he comes off super
sleazy. No, that's exactly what happened.
Yeah. No, he will use his sexuality. Do you remember that episode? I think it was called The Game, where Wesley... It's got, like, Ashley Judd in it, and everybody's
wearing those... Yeah, he goes to that orgy planet, and he comes back with the orgy game.
At the beginning, Riker is on the orgy planet, and it's just... He's, like, wearing these silk bathrobes, and he's just, like, a total, like, gigolo for this woman on the planet. And but the whole episode is, like, a metaphor. If you watch it closely, and I'm going to stand by this, it's a metaphor for STDs because, like, Riker goes down to the planet in a silk bathrobe to bed this lady, and he ends up bringing back this game back to the ship. And I think it's like goggles, and you put on the goggles, and it's just the worst, like, mid-90s graphics, early 90s graphics that you can imagine. But everybody's addicted to this game. And it's up to Wesley and Ashley Judd to try to stamp it out. Yeah, exactly. The virgins on the ship have to stamp out the STDs that Riker brought back up from the planet.
I can totally see this metaphor now that you say that.
Yeah.
So do you think that STDs are going to get worse as we start mating with other species across the universe?
I assume so. Our immune systems aren't built for that.
Yeah, well, let's find some other species first. But
things, we'll put it on our to-do list. Find aliens, number one. Number two, fuck them.
Yeah. I'm ready. I'm ready.
I forget. Did you say I know you said you have a show in Seattle and Portland. Are they both going to be based talking about Twilight?
Yes. They're all going to be Twilight shows because Twilight is one of our most popular and one of our funnest and funniest shows. Like you guys, I think a lot of people are curious about Twilight. They've heard about the phenomenon, but they would absolutely not go see it under normal circumstances. But if somebody's there making fun of it, then this is a good chance for you to see it in safety.
Then it's acceptable.
Yeah, it's like a comedy condom that you can put on so that you don't get infected by the Twilight virus.
Are you doing the first Twilight movie?
We are doing the first one. We've made it a point of going through the entire series, and we're up to the third one. Here in Austin, we're currently mocking Eclipse, which is the third one. But we're going to take our first one up to Seattle and Portland so that you can see what we've done in the past.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it's a great show.
I remember Twilight was always one of those movies where I thought people just overplayed how bad it was because people just like to talk shit about movies.
Yeah.
You know, I think ever since, like, movie started, it was, like, just silent in, like, 2 minutes. But
so what'd you think? Was it as bad or as good?
It was. Yeah, it was just as bad as everyone said. I was really surprised. Except for the, it was the baseball scene that it really hit me, and I was just like, I can't believe it. Like I don't think I'm being that guy, but no, this is just the shittiest thing I've ever seen.
It doesn't make any sense. About two-thirds of the way through the movie, you know, if you're, they take a break from the main plot and decide to play a game of baseball out in a field, and the vampires are really good at baseball, and they love it.
Is it vampires versus werewolves?
I wish it was. That would actually have made it a better movie. No, it's vampires versus vampires, and, you know, they're like, because there are no real rules in this universe, they can do anything. They can fly and they can catch, you
know.
They
can fly?
Well, Edward can actually fly. I'm not sure if all of them can fly, but Edward can fly. So he can catch fly balls, and they can all jump really, really high. So, yeah. And they sparkle.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I'm actually really curious to see it.
There's some great jokes in that, and I don't want to spoil now.
Yeah, not too many spoilers. But yeah, if you're in Seattle, come see us on July 19th at the SIF Uptown. Revenge of the Sith. And if you're in Portland, then come see us at Cinema 21 on July 20th and 21st.
That's next week. What is that? Next
Thursday in Seattle and Friday and Saturday in Portland.
And the tickets sell out pretty quickly, so you got to get them before you go up to the window.
So do you fly out to Seattle and just drive down to Portland?
Yeah, we're actually we're going to do a themed tour because, you know, the movie, the Twilight series, takes place in a small town in Washington State called Forks. So we're going to fly to Seattle, do the show there, and then drive down to Portland. And on the way, we're going to take a little detour and go to Forks and see what it's actually like and try to find some vampires.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's
it's ridiculous.
That's an interesting idea. I hope you all at least play some baseball while you're there.
Are you going to shoot it?
Yeah, we're going to film it and make a little mini documentary out of it. It's kind of sad, actually. It's really pathetic how attached we've become to the Twilight series, just because it's our job. But now we've seen probably, you know, the first Twilight we've seen over 30 or 40 times. We've seen it more than most Twihards have seen these movies.
Yeah.
And you know, what is it called where you build up an attachment to your
it's
captor?
Like Stockholm Syndrome?
Stockholm Syndrome or Helsinki Syndrome. I always get confused because in Die Hard they say the wrong one, actually.
Oh.
But yes, I think it's Stockholm Syndrome. Anyway, we have that for Twilight. It's a terrible, terrible series, but it's our bread and butter, and it's so much fun to make fun of. So now we're all girly, and we're going to take the Twilight Forks tour when we go up there.
I wonder if that's a big thing. I wonder if you'll encounter other, like, Twilight fans who are...
I'm sure we will. It's like an industry there, because I think there's nothing else going on in Forks. Sorry, Forks, if you're listening. But I think, you know, it's like up there with Kurt Cobain's hometown. I think it's a big tourist attraction for people who, you know, want to do the Twilight adventure.
Interesting.
Yeah.
All right, well, for anyone who's interested, we'll have links in the link dump and in the Enhanced podcast to the ticketing for the shows on the 19th in Seattle and the 20th and 21st in Portland. Should definitely check it out. But we don't want to keep you too much longer, John.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you for coming on.
Yeah.
I hope you have a good show out there.
Thanks very much.